about. So easy. You gotta put it in perspective.
Man, you better get power of attorney to a loved one, because it's about to get crazy.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G. Ah!
And I think you're right. I think, like, as, you know, a society in 2014, times have definitely changed for the better. But there's also some setbacks sometimes. And I think, you know, the more messages that can get out to kind of, you know, open people's eyes to what's right and what's wrong, I think you you nailed that.
Hill is making me sick.
I know. I think I'm going to go throw up.
Don't see her. I want to go throw up, too.
I'm a human being. God damn it. My life has value.
Being a woman is no fun.
When we're serene, people say we're boring.
When we're confident, people say we're arrogant.
When we're feminine, people say we're too girly.
And when we're good at sports, people say we're lesbians.
Which is so hot.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
When I get back here, I'm gonna put a baby in you.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
What an imagination on this one, huh?
Roll another one.
What's happening to your nipples?
Just like the other one.
Who's hungry?
This one seems to be about to quit.
I'm embarrassed for this generation.
I need another hit.
It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
Go Buffalo.
Right.
Roll another one.
What up, Juicy?
Just like the other one.
I had not thought of that.
This one seems to be a
kind of bringing down the room.
I don't have another cent.
Everyone, looky, looky, looky. Who is that?
I don't want to guard that joint.
This is an answer.
Just pass it around.
I want nothing from you in my throat. Thank you.
I don't want to guard that joint, my friend.
Wow, you're super pretty. You want to go on a date sometime?
I just pass it.
And now.
What an inspired touch. I can just hear that music coming out through the bunghole.
Our feature presentation.
Wow.
Is that where it comes out of?
I didn't know. I've got to listen more carefully.
Wow. To try it, more importantly.
Right.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Beecho. It is Friday. It is the 9th of October. I'm sorry. It's the 9th of Rocktober. My bad.
Yeah. Glad we have the new program in place where we track how soon into the show is the first mistake, because this has been a better week. This has been first 5 seconds almost every day for something.
I think you're being mean right now. I don't like you much right now.
Guys, it's Friday.
Yeah, it is.
It's Friday.
Yes, it is.
Mm-hmm.
What's everybody doing for the weekend? Anything fun?
Kevin and I are going to play some blackjack tonight.
Blackjack tournament tonight.
Oh, that's the
night. Yeah. He's been giving me great tips,
yeah,
which is awesome.
I try to teach her, you know, the best I can.
Yeah.
Right?
It's like my mentor.
So, you know, face cards are worth 15, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Okay.
And, you know, you want to get over 21.
Yeah.
That kind of thing.
So. If you're at 21, you always hit.
Always hit.
Yeah.
Right?
So he's been really helpful.
And an ace can be either a 3 or 7, depending on what your choice is.
See, we haven't gotten there yet.
Geez.
Oh, you haven't got it yet.
Haven't gotten there yet.
Well, let me just tell you how lucky we all are to even have a weekend, because I don't know if you guys even paid attention to it. It seems like sometimes these proclamations, declarations don't get the attention that they used to, but we just passed another end of the world day. Another apocalypse just passed on Wednesday. You guys know that?
No.
We could have died not known why.
Yeah, I usually have that circled.
Yes.
You should definitely pay attention to it. This time it was the E-Bible Fellowship, which apparently is an online church, is my guess, I think. They're based in Sharon Hill, Pennsylvania, and they have been for the past couple of weeks predicting that the end of the world would be this past Wednesday, October 7th. According to what the Bible is presenting, they said, it does appear that the October 7th will be the day that God has spoken of, in which the world will pass away, said church founder Chris McGann in an interview with The Guardian. It will be gone forever. It will be annihilated. He says that he studied the Bible and extrapolated from a previous claim that the world was ending on May 21st, 2011, that the information was wrong. It was figured out incorrectly, and that the correct date was actually October 7th of 2015.
Okay.
By the way, was May of 2011, was that our little friend Harold Camping? Was that him? Because that was, remember how much publicity
maybe, yeah.
that guy,
yeah.
End of the World guy.
I think
got.
Maybe.
McGann says that it is his prediction was based partly on the blood moon.
Sure.
That lunar eclipse that was combined with a supermoon. Remember, we just had that a couple of weekends ago?
Right.
God destroyed the first earth with water by a flood in the days of Noah, and he says he will not do that again, not by water, but he does say in 2 Peter 3 that he will destroy it by fire. So apparently the pastor thought that the blood moon, the blood fire moon, or whatever they called it, was an indication that the end was near. Don't worry, he said there is still some wiggle room for redemption. This is what he's been saying all along, that there was a strong likelihood it would happen. In other words, he did not guarantee it like some do.
That's always the question, is if he said it was Wednesday, I want to talk to him on Thursday.
Right.
I want to know exactly what's going on with that.
So my question to you is, once you've been on, you know, all over the world doing those kind of interviews and telling your faithful, and, you know, I hope that people didn't take it seriously to the point where they, you know, emptied out their bank accounts and, you know, put down their pets and all the stuff that you hear that people do sometimes.
He's not kidding. Remember Nancy from Zeta Talk?
Yeah. She told us she did put her dog down because she was convinced that the Earth was wobbling on its axis or something.
Yeah.
It was going to be a new ice age. I don't remember.
Bad. And we were joking around like, oh, yeah, really? But seriously, she said, yeah, I did. I really did.
Oh, my God.
Oh, no. Really? Yeah, she's full on crazy.
That would took the wind out of us.
Yeah. Oh.
So what do you do when you're the pastor and then October 7th, I mean, I guess you're just sitting there in your house just waiting for it, right? You're probably praying.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And then it gets to be nighttime, and then maybe you're, you know, watching a little Nashville, and then you're going, come on. Well, seriously. Like, God, quit fooling around here. I got a lot on the line here. I kind of been telling people. And then it gets to be, you know, 5 minutes to midnight, and you're thinking, all right, still got time. And then it's past midnight, and you're thinking, well, we don't know what time zone they're
right,
looking at.
Right.
So it's possible that, you know, somewhere west of us, it's still not quite midnight. And then eventually you doze off, I guess, and you wake up the next morning and you go, all right, that didn't happen. Now what do I do? Like, how do you come back from that? What do you tell your people?
Well, most of these guys, it seems like they just alter the idea. Oh, well, you know, we didn't know for sure.
Right.
But maybe it's based on this and that. And they just start working their way out of it.
Maybe they just sent like a mass email, like psych. Right? I think that would probably work.
Well, the pastor did put a post up on the Facebook page for the church.
Okay.
For some time now, E-Bible Fellowship and myself have been looking toward October 7th as the likely end of the world. We believe there was a strong likelihood that God would complete his judgment and bring around the world's destruction on that day. There was much biblical information, blah, 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 blah. Since it is now October 8th, it is now obvious we were incorrect regarding the world ending on the 7th. The world's continuation is not a justification of the world, though. It should be noted that not being destroyed on the 7th is in no way some sort of divine justification of the world. According to the word of God, the sentence upon the world has been passed, and it is guilty. The world will certainly pass away, as detailed in numerous places in the Bible. We were incorrect regarding the specific day, but we were not incorrect concerning the fact that one day soon, the world will come to an end.
But that's not what they were saying one day
it's
soon.
Not what they were saying at all.
But the
and by the
guilty.
Way, I'm no biblical scholar here. Mm-hmm. But isn't there a thing in the Bible specifically addressing people who predict the end of the world that says something like, no man shall know where the world will end?
Pretty much, yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's what I thought. So how do any of these people believe that they can figure out God's plan?
It's been very
confusing for me.
Don't have the answer for that. I don't know.
So, well, looks like we dodged a bullet, you guys. So eat, drink, and be merry this weekend. Enjoy the hell out of it.
That's good news.
Going to miss my dog, though.
Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bicho, shall we?
It's a bad deal, and it isn't over yet.
Crew, that's true. I said crew, but I meant true. We've got tickets for The Cure. That's the word I was looking at. At the Hollywood Bowl for you today. We have the movie beat because it is Friday. We have unattractive celebrities that you find attractive.
Hmm.
Allie McKay.
Weird.
Who finds...
Yes, Allie even has some fans online herself.
How dare you?
What were you saying? Hold
I'm
on,
so hurtful. Mean.
I thought you were saying...
No.
You know what I was
you're
saying.
You're just...
Oh,
you're
I see what
dick.
Happened there. Oh, you meant that other... Oh, I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Allie McKay has celebrities that other people don't find. Okay, I got it now. My bad.
She finds Billy Joel attractive.
Right.
Enough
Absolutely.
Said. RJ Bell in Las Vegas talking about this week's picks for the NFL. And one of our old friends, Seth Green,
joins us on today's Kevin and Bean Show. We'll take a break. We'll come back with the Showbiz Beat next. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:53.
That young lady's named Halsey, by the way. She is going to be playing at the Fonda on November the 18th. That show is sold out. Hey, Allie McKay.
Hey, Bean.
You ready to be Ralph Garman today?
Been practicing. I just yelled at Christine. Good. So I think it's going well.
You say something racist to Muggs?
I did.
All right. Your hair looks good. Is that a new shirt?
Sorry, I'm
just pretending you're Ralph Garman.
Yeah. See what you're doing.
Hey, for the Showbiz Beat here on a Friday morning. What's going on?
Listen, I always comment on Ralph's hair because it's magic.
Right.
It always looks like he's fresh from getting his hair done. It's always like this strange high, almost like a feathered back look.
Right. I hear you say that, but his hair is short, first of all.
Yes.
And you see him within an hour of him getting out of the shower and combing his hair. So, of course, it's still going to look good at 6 o'clock in the morning.
I don't know.
There's no surprise there is what I'm saying. Kevin's hair looks good at 6 o'clock in the morning,
yes,
too.
It does.
Right. Right. And I don't say that enough. Kevin, your hair looks great.
Thank you.
All right, let's give something away before we get to the Showbiz Beat. How about 5 pairs of tickets to see Crimson Peak?
Yeah!
Oh, yeah. It's all going down at Pacific Grove Theater. That's Tuesday, October the 13th. You're going to see it a whopping 3 days before all your friends get to see it when it is released. So if you call right now, do we have Doto giving the number or should I give it?
You go ahead and give it.
All right. It's 1-800-520-1067. 5 winners are going to get a pair of passes to the K-Rock advanced screening of Crimson Peak at Pacific's The Grove Theater. Who's excited for that?
Me.
It looks beautiful, doesn't it?
Beautiful and scary, yeah.
Beautiful in, like, gothic in a castle and, as Ralph then says, bony hands.
I didn't think beautiful, but, you know, scary.
Oh, okay.
I can see what you're saying, though.
I feel like it's beautifully shot.
Okay.
The costuming is beautiful. The settings are beautiful, but then bony hands. So, you know.
So that cancels everything else out?
It really does. Right. It really does. All right, you guys. I'm going to bring something up that I know Ralph wouldn't do in showbiz, but I'm going to do it.
Okay.
Because a few days ago, our Nicole Alvarez here at the lovely K-Rock Studios, she posted something about, Justin Bieber's dong.
Yeah.
On Twitter. Mm-hmm. And I was like, what is this all about? And just doing a little research, there were pictures posted of Justin Bieber naked.
Right.
In Bora Bora. And they were really naked.
Mm-hmm.
Used with the telephoto lens.
Okay.
Did he need a telephoto lens?
Well, that's the thing that's
from
being
6 feet.
Discussed. So I thought, well, all these people are talking about it. Usually, he's naked. Oh, my God. And people would make fun. Like, that's why he's such a jerk. He's overcompensating. No.
Not bad? You looked?
Not bad. Yeah. Justin Bieber. Not bad at all. Which brings me to this story. So, of course, his legal team fired off cease and desist. Take those photos down. Get rid of them. They're horrible. It's such an invasion of privacy. But according to multiple sources at TMZ, once Justin saw everybody talking about it online, he's like, I'm really not going to sue. It's kind of awesome. Everyone's talking about my dong.
I always wonder about that. If it's good, don't you go, wow, this is terrible. This is an invasion of privacy, and I'm very mad.
And behind the scenes, you're high-fiving your legal team. Like, every couple days, just keep saying I'm going to sue so that people click on it. But Justin, I'm not going to lie. Well done.
Big, thick.
Right, okay. Take it easy.
Wow, Rodney, that was a bit more than I was expecting.
Penis.
Yes, indeed it was. And you could still find those pictures
okay. If
you look. So I'm just saying, I wouldn't, though, because it is really an invasion of privacy.
Right.
But as long as they're there,
mm-hmm.
I mean, take a look.
Right.
Wow.
I can't wait to see your penis.
Exactly. All right, remember back in June when cops pulled over a car driving erratically in Beverly Hills, and it turned out to be John Stamos.
Yes.
And they thought, oh my gosh, he's so wasted. We're not taking him to jail. We're taking him to a hospital. Something is not right with him. And people were saying, oh, this is so unlike John Stamos. He's drunk, and that's not like him, da da da.
He just found out he was a grandfather.
That's a TV show.
News. Yeah. He didn't even know he had a kid.
That's just a television show, Bean. Yeah,
come on. Well, apparently, he was under the influence of GHB, the so-called rape drug.
Wow.
Right?
Who's trying to date rape John Stamos besides everyone?
Well, that's the thing.
That's...
He was not using GHB for what we think the purpose is, to knock somebody out and take advantage of him.
To Cosby them?
Yes. Sources say that the actor was taking the drug to, quote, lean out body mass as he was preparing for his new TV show, Grandfathered. The drug's used by bodybuilders for lean muscle and for a level of sleep, which helps the muscles recover.
Isn't that interesting?
Wow.
So he wasn't on a crazy bender.
Right.
He was just trying to look better for TV.
Which is then interesting because he then went to rehab almost immediately after the arrest and completed a 30-day live-in treatment.
Man, that's weird.
You think that was just a PR move?
Might have been. But
I mean, it's possible he was also drinking, right?
Yeah.
I think it's always possible someone's drinking.
But then I think you look at his history, and I don't think there's any of that in it. So I don't
that
know.
Is really interesting.
That's pretty weird.
Yeah, and I think for cops to pull someone over and say, you're going to a hospital, something is not right. They see it all. So he must have just been off his rocker.
We'll have to ask Mike about that. Catherwood is our go-to for questions like this. What kind of side effects you have from GHB? But, I mean, I didn't know it was ever used in workout.
Yeah.
And B, I did not know it had those kind of side effects. So that is really a shocking story.
Yeah. Also shocking and so sad. Did you see what the Dodgers announced on Twitter yesterday?
I did not.
Yes. Oh. How disappointing is this? Now I don't want them to win the World
Series. What happened?
Well, Kevin and everyone else that didn't click on the worldwide trend, Vin Scully, yesterday. The Dodgers tweeted, Vin Scully underwent a recommended medical procedure this morning and is resting comfortably. On the advice of his doctors, Scully will miss the Dodgers postseason games to rest up, but is looking forward to returning in 2016.
It's time for Dodger baseball.
Look, all the world wants is for Vin Scully to get to call another World Series. That's all we care about. He's not going to live forever. The Dodgers are in the postseason. This is the year. Come on, Vin. Come back.
Man up.
Have a miraculous recovery
and
get back in the booth.
What we're saying
man up.
I think we're saying get well as soon as you possibly can. If there is some kind of divine intervention that can happen.
I see.
That should happen. Not so much.
And then
buck
man
up, sir.
Nope. What if the Dodgers do great, get past the first level, get past the second level? Mm-hmm. Maybe Vin's feeling better, well enough, you know, if we push this thing far enough into October, maybe he'll come back.
I'm just
holding out hope.
Yeah. Or maybe
Because don't you kind of feel like, I mean, look, I don't know, I'm just speculating here. Mm-hmm. Don't you think part of why anyone involved in sports doesn't retire when they clearly could and maybe should is because they want to win again.
Yeah.
Because they want to go out on that bang, that high
of
a championship.
I don't think so.
Yeah.
So, I wonder how much that plays into Vin Scully's decision to keep coming back as he wants another World Series.
Yeah,
and
next
we
year
want
would
him
be
to have that.
His 67th season. So
stop being a pussy.
I don't,
get back
again,
in the,
not, what? Not what we're saying.
I don't understand.
All right, I'll tell you after this. But all of these stars were born on today, October the 9th. Or as we call it, Rocktober. I wasn't sure you'd have it.
Yeah.
Kevin, it's really
well,
good.
I just told Chip to pull up something else.
Uh-huh.
So she did. And you saw her dive back there.
Yeah. Well done, Chip.
Well done.
Sharon Osbourne is 63 years old. Actor Tony Shalhoub, 62. Scott Bakula is 61. Director Guillermo del Toro, 51. Funny man Nick Swardson, 39. Actor Chris O'Dowd, 36. And actor Brian Ralph is 36 years old as well. I'm Allie McKay, in for Ralph Garman, walking the showbiz beat.
Your chance to win tickets to The Cure at the Hollywood Bowl, coming up later this morning here on K-Rock. Don't forget those tickets go on sale today at 10 a.m. Also, we got Festival Supreme tickets for the Shrine Expo Hall and Grounds, which is the greatest comedy show in America. We got those to give away. Six Flags Magic Mountain Fright Fest. So much good stuff on the way on K-Rock. We had a fascinating video on the Kevin Bean Internet Roundup yesterday. You can still see it at KRock.com. From Wired Magazine, it is called How Average Are You? Now, look, nobody wants to think of themselves as being average, but most of us are in a lot of areas.
I think maybe we go the other way too much. I sort of assume everybody's like me. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Just because I think we're all pretty much the same. So it wouldn't surprise me if we were all average.
Well, I mean, some of the things we don't have any control over, like your heart beats 100,000
right.
times a day. That's going to be a universal if you're human. Mm-hmm. But then there are a lot of things, you know, depending on whether you drink coffee or watch TV or exercise or whatever, there are going to be a lot of things where you may be way out of the norm for how much or how little you're doing. So this video is pretty fascinating, and there's a lot of stuff that goes by really fast, but I thought it might be fun to listen to some of it And then talk about some of the ones where we feel like we are the most outside what they say is average for Americans.
All right.
Okay?
All right.
All right, here we go.
Are you the most average human in America? Let's find out. If you are the most average human, you'll sleep 8.7 hours a day. If you are a man, you'll have 11 erections. If you are a woman, you won't have erections.
All right, can you verify that, Allie? Does that sound right?
I have never had an erection.
All right.
That is correct.
So that's average.
Are you guys surprised to hear over 8 hours a day of sleep? I get the impression, because I don't get that much sleep, I get the impression that lots of people don't get that much sleep, but maybe I'm wrong.
I get tops 5 hours. If
yeah,
I'm
that's
lucky.
That's a great night.
Yeah,
so none of us are average on that one.
No.
All right.
Right.
If you are a coffee drinker, you'll have 1.85 cups of coffee per day.
Now, they don't say anything about Diet Dr. Pepper, Allie.
But, two cups of coffee if you're
a
coffee drinker?
Yeah, see, now that surprises me.
Yeah.
Now, this is in the subset of people who are coffee drinkers. You would think that my guess would be, if you're a coffee drinker, that's a thing that you're drinking at least throughout the morning, which would be 2, 3, 4 cups, I would think.
I have 2 cups as I'm getting ready at home.
You all do. Right.
And then more once I get here.
Okay.
Yeah.
And consume anywhere from 80 to 84 grams of sugar. And you'll use 80 to 100 gallons of water. You'll pee 4 to 7 times and poop anywhere from once in 3 days to 3 times a day.
So there's no average for pooping, it sounds like. That one is just all over the board.
Once in 3 days.
It can happen at any point.
To those people. That is a horrible way to live your life.
What about peeing 4 to 7 times a day? I think I'm more of a 15 times a day guy.
Really?
I think so.
15 times a day?
But I drink all the time, too. I always, like right now, I'm having, a giant glass of water.
Sure.
I mean, I'm constantly hydrating.
I'd say more 10 for me.
I'd say I'm pretty average on that one.
Yeah.
All right, 4 to 7, okay.
You'll work 8 hours. If you use social media, you'll spend 40 minutes on Facebook.
Okay, now we're getting to an area that's really surprising to me. 40 minutes on Facebook. The experience that I have with the people I know or am married to is they spend a lot more time than that on Facebook.
Oh, is that right?
What do you think, guys?
I don't.
I mean, I'm not a Facebook user. I know you're not either, Kevin. But how about the people in your life? I think more Facebook than 40 minutes a day.
I don't know.
There's no way most people
tell.
I know.
I don't know because I don't really use it.
Yeah.
Does that include Twitter and other things, Instagram?
That just is Facebook. They're going to break it down a little bit more, and I think some of these are kind of surprising, too.
Right. 21 minutes on Instagram and 77 minutes on Tinder. Overall,
horny are we?
Wow.
77 minutes a day on Tinder.
Wow.
But we can substitute Grindr for that as well, right?
Absolutely.
In your case, yes.
Probably
of course.
Yeah.
Good. So, I mean, that's amazing to me because you're not reaching out to that many people a day. You're just looking.
Yeah, you're probably lurking. Yeah.
You're just lurking on Tinder for over an hour a day.
Creepers.
Yeah. Right?
Pretty strong.
Overall, you'll stare at screens for 11 hours.
Now, there's no question I'm online more than I would like to be and more than I should be, certainly. That concerns me when I think about spending 11 hours a day in front of a screen. Which
does screens
sure
include
sometimes.
TV or is it just computers and
I would think just phones. Computers.
That's a great question. I mean, it's kind of in that chunk where they are talking about the way people use the internet. So it sounds to me like they're talking about, using the phone or using your computer. But that's a lot of time, man. Ralph was always saying, hey, why don't you go outside once in a while?
Maybe, I'm much less than that.
Yeah. Maybe he's onto something.
Yeah.
You'll smile about 20 times a day. You'll exchange 41.5 text messages. You'll fart 10 times.
No way!
Because you fart so much more.
So much more. No, I don't think people fart 10 times a day. Do you?
Allie's
shaking her head. Yes. No.
Allie's butt is like an AK-47. She can do that many in 4 seconds.
Wait, 10 sounds low to you, Allie? Is that what you're saying?
No, it sounds so high to me.
I don't know that they're talking about, room clearing rippers. I think they're just talking about just a little. Maybe, I don't know. Again, it's not my study. It's Wired magazine, but that didn't strike me as a lot. 41 text messages a day seems like a lot, but then to me, I mean, I have very few friends and very few people I'm in contact
with.
That
sounds
about
right.
Maybe that's normal. Yeah.
I think more people text than talk on the phone. It's just how
absolutely.
You communicate
for
sure.
Absolutely. All right, do we have time for a few more?
Sure.
You'll touch your face 256 times and pick your nose 4 times.
I don't know that I've ever paid attention to how many times I touch my face.
Yeah.
I was shocked to hear that number.
What is it, 247?
256 times a day you touch your face.
Wow.
What is
that? No wonder everybody gets sick all the time always from everything, right? Because you're always putting it on your face.
You'll lose 40 to 100 strands of hair. You'll check your phone 150 times.
check your phone 150 wow. times a day?
It doesn't feel like that until you lose or forget your phone.
Yeah. And then you realize you need it for everything.
Right. All day you go to the phone. Oh, I don't have it. Oh, I don't have it. I would buy that.
Yeah. Especially right. just scrolling Twitter.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's true. I mean, that's what you're using it for, some of the stuff we heard about earlier with the Instagram and the Facebook and everything else, right?
And lie 1.65 times. You'll spend only
Way low.
Really? 1.65 for lying?
Way low.
So you lie twice a day or more, you're saying?
Well, does this include, like, little white lies?
Absolutely.
Yeah. I think so.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
Way low.
You'll spend only 17 minutes exercising. You'll sweat up to 1 quart a day. You'll blink 21,600 to 28,800 times. You'll take around 5,000 steps, depending on how active you are. You'll.
For me, it's about 50 steps a day.
Yeah, I don't know even how to measure that.
It's bed to studio, and then right back to bed. I mean, pretty much that's about it for me.
You'll consume 2,195 calories and 1.5 alcoholic beverages.
All right, obviously I'm way low on the alcohol and probably higher than that on the calories as well. But do those sound about average? I thought America being so fat, 2,000-something calories a day seems low for what I would have expected for the average American. I mean, I look around, you know, I go to Walmart and I'm thinking 10,000 calories a day is what most people are
Walmart
packing
away. Is where you want to go for the cross sample.
You'll breathe 17,000 to 30,000 breaths. You'll make thousands of decisions. Some of them will surely be impulsive.
That and terrible. Some of them will be terrible, terrible, so terrible decisions. All right, here's one that I wanted to get to because this is a surprise to me.
You'll swear about 80 times.
You'll swear about 80 times a day if you're an average American.
See, Chip that's just put hard her to finger believe. Up saying more.
Kevin, you can't say the F word on the air.
Talk
about swearing, you can't swear.
I don't understand.
Seriously. All right. How average are you? There you go. You can see the video at kevinandbean.com or krock.com.
You're worse than all of the guys put together.
Seriously.
You know that,
the
right?
The burping, the farting, and the swearing.
Seriously.
Hey, there are so many ways to get in touch with the Kevin and Bean Show. We've got the Instagram, we've got the Snapchat, and we've got the Facebook, and we've got the Twitter. And of course, you can text us anytime you want at the number 25767. That's number 2 KROQ. You can call us on the phone, or you can leave us a message. We got a voicemail set up and have for years where you can call on any topic. It's the Kevin and Bean Afro Line, 323-520-AFRO. Let's check out what people are saying this week.
In about a half hour, we're going to talk to RJ Bell in Las Vegas about gambling, perhaps on the NFL. Mm-hmm. And this is his theme song.
'Cause he's RJ Bell. RJ Bell.
And here's the call.
The mafia's out to get me because of RJ Bell. RJ Bell. The mafia's out to get me. Gonna break my legs. Thank you very much, RJ Bell. RJ Bell.
Look, RJ warns you every week that these are not guarantees. These are his best effort to help you with your NFL picks, but you can lose money. You can lose money betting on what RJ Bell says, and you did.
Yes, go there. You know, it's Rocktober.
Yeah.
No fun? No fun? No fun? No fun?
Yeah.
What's the status on Malfon? Do we know?
Still broken up because of Chip.
How dare you?
Chip breaks up bands. That's what happens.
They can't. They can't even be in the same room together because of Chip.
Wow.
Guys, remember my moment with where I rambled for about a half hour about terrorist situations and stuff like that?
Yeah.
This guy tries his best to recreate it, and it's very difficult.
Hey, what's good, guys? Oh, hey, Kevin and Bean.
Oh, I'm sorry. I jumped ahead. This guy is reviewing our show and some of the stuff that we do on it, and I believe that he loves the feature What's Good.
Hey, what's good, guys? Oh, hey, Kevin and Ben, what's good? I just took a huge... Yeah, it was huge. Oh, thanks for calling in.
Yeah, that's your show right now, guys. You guys are dumb.
So he likes it.
Okay, about 3 days a week, we take 5 minutes of phone calls from our listeners. That's all it is. Is that destroyed the whole show because we like to talk to people who are listening to the show?
What if it? I don't think the show's good enough that it needs to be destroyed, but with one feature. It's all pretty much below average, right?
Yeah,
right.
You'd think that would add up.
Right, but that's all. Like, they didn't destroy it, for God's sake. Exactly. Take it easy.
It's weird to say people jump from I'm not positive. Well, the answer is to must be, you know, infallible word of God or, you know, and terrorist. You know, situations or UFOs, you go, it's unidentified, so It must be, you don't know. It's just maybe a question that we'll never know the answer to. God damn it, that was hard.
It was like old-timey, Kevin, too.
We had a conversation about the Dodgers when they were about to clinch, and we may have had some problems with the magic number. And podcast listeners find that a little bit later than most people, and then they respond.
Dude, seriously, you guys, I just caught up on Tuesday's podcast, and hearing you guys talk about how magic numbers work at the end about gave me a brain aneurysm, and I really need to reevaluate my life to where that kind of thing bugs me. Yeah, I really want to punch you all in the face, except for Allie, because she's a girl. Instead, I'll write her a strongly worded email and explain how magic numbers work, and then we can just all move on from this great tragedy. You guys are all dumb and stupid. What am I doing with my life?
We were pretty bad.
Yeah, we were bad.
Explain that.
I think that's a reasonable question for any listener to ask at some point is, what am I doing with my life listening to this show?
And we accept your scorn because that was a disaster.
It was awful.
It was. It was embarrassing. Sorry.
She being spooked outside her window. She being spooked behind a tree. I wish I could make her see, but she just spooks so easily. And it's she being spooked outside my window pane.
Murder, right? Right? Murder.
Bean at one point mentioned that the Grand Canyon may have been formed by being hit by a meteor.
That's correct.
That may have happened.
No, Bean! The Grand Canyon is not an effing meteor strike. There's a river in the middle. Not an effing meteor from space. Get your together.
Yeah, and I knew, yeah, I did say that, and it was wrong. And I knew about the river part, but I thought the original hole might have been formed by, you know, a meteor, an asteroid, or something like that, and then it just got expanded by the river. But
why would
that
you
happened.
Think that, though?
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't have the perfect grasp on
Thank
historical
you.
Events that guys like you do.
Thank you.
So sometimes I just grasp at straws.
This guy heard the call about Bean's wife, did a little research himself.
A long-time podcast listener, and hearing one of the callers talk about Bean and his beautiful wife, Donna, looked her up, and Bean, I thought I'd share with you what I would do to Donna. First, I'd start off with the Kenny Bunkport surprise. Of course, because I'm a gentleman.
He's a gentleman.
Naturally move over to the Land Shark after that.
Uh-huh.
Easily go to the Balcuzzi for the next event.
Right.
I'm Middle Eastern, so obviously the flying camel is the next one that comes in.
Oh,
and then nice. I'd go to the freezer and perform the Kentucky Klondike Bar. And, of course, as all acts end, I'd move over to the Alabama Hot Pocket.
She is going to be exhausted.
Oh, God.
I will occasionally hang up on a guest.
Uh-huh.
Occasionally.
Hey, I don't know if you noticed, but Kevin didn't hang up on another phone guest. What the hell, Kevin? You're letting us down, dog. Come on, get dog. Get some.
I just can't stop hanging up on you. Because I love it. Because I love it.
Follow Miss Shields on Twitter, @BrookeShields. Hey, thanks for the time. We enjoyed it.
Thank you. Thank you, guys. I listen
to Cerritos Home Square's 2-week Black Friday sale going on now.
And I know you can be a celebrity or just an average joke. You bet Kevin's hanging up on you. Oh, he just hung up.
Corby Brand is our guest. You can find him at Church of Superheroes at Facebook. Thanks for the time, Corby. Good luck to you, sir.
Thanks, guys. Have a great.
You could be Brooke Shields or Bono. You could be Megan Fox or Sir Paul.
And it's always fun to catch up with you on the Kevin Beach Show. We appreciate you calling.
Oh, man, thank you very much. I look forward to you to see the film. So I think it's out on the film, and I really do.
Fantastic. Thank you, Joel.
Thanks, man. Have a good one.
I just can't stop hanging up on you. Because I love it. Because I love it.
Thanks, Megan. Have a great weekend.
Thank you, buddy.
Sir, great to talk to you. We'll see you again in a little bit, all right?
We feel the same about you. Really do, K-Rock. Thanks.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Kevin.
I just can't stop hanging up on you. Because I love it.
I don't know if we'll ever have a chance to do this again, Sir Paul, but thank you so much for the time. It's a real honor to have you on the program today.
That's a really nice interview. So, I hope to see you at the gig.
Absolutely, sir. Thanks for the call.
Make it a day.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. See you guys. Bye.
Oops. You hung up off a car.
What are you saying? He was saying goodbye. That may happen occasionally.
Kevin, goddammit.
It is 6:53.
I hope that listener that got his legs broken by the mafia after betting on RJ Bell is still alive and can listen, because we'll talk to our friend Mr. Bell from pregame.com in Las Vegas about the NFL weekend ahead just after 7. Allie's in now for Ralph Garman with the Showbiz Beat on a Friday. What's going on?
Hey, I know that Kevin didn't hear this yesterday, but apparently a lot of people have tweeted me and said they didn't know it either. But the Dodgers announced yesterday on Twitter, quote, Vin Scully underwent a recommended medical procedure this morning and is resting comfortably. On the advice of his doctors, Scully will miss the Dodgers' postseason games to rest up, but is looking forward to returning in 2016. So, sorry to bum you all out that didn't hear this yesterday, but yeah, huge, huge news coming out.
Now, I thought when once the Major League Baseball got into the playoffs, it was a national
broadcast.
They went
to their, like Joe Buck?
Yeah. So, does he do postgame shit?
He would still be doing the radio.
Postseason
radio broadcast.
Oh,
radio.
Okay, I got you.
And I just want him to be there. I want him to be there to be alive to see it. That's what I want.
Well, I don't think they're saying he's going to die.
Take it easy.
Right, but he's not going to be at the ballpark where he should be to celebrate with the Dodgers when they win the World Series. That's all I'm saying.
Well, if they go far enough, maybe he could go there but just not call it. Maybe he will see it in person.
All right, I hope so.
Come on, B. Cheer up.
I want good things for Vin, that's all.
Cheer up, little
buddy. We all do. But maybe he can Periscope. Right? A Vin Scully Periscope. Him watching the game at home. Maybe with some chicken wings. I'd watch that.
It would be the best Periscope ever.
Ever.
Yeah.
It might break the
internet. I would totally watch that.
Right. Me too. All right. This is sad news. Tom Cruise is packing up and leaving Hollywood. It's true.
Oh, is that why he was selling a bunch of houses? Didn't we hear a story where he was selling houses?
He was selling off a ton of houses, and apparently he's moving to beautiful Clearwater, Florida. Why? Well, he likes it there. And also, it's where the Church of Scientology is headquartered. And word is that fellow Scientologist John Travolta loves his life in the Sunshine State. And apparently Tom realized that, quote, all the people in Hollywood are fake. Just realizing that? Just
now?
Just got word to him that he just realized it, yeah.
By the way, I don't know why all celebrities don't have a home base in a tax-free state.
Absolutely, right?
If you're Tom Cruise, there's no way your primary residence should be in California. Just for the money aspect of it, you should live in Florida.
Have you ever looked online at different parts of Florida and how much you can get for a beachfront house there?
No, I've not, no.
It's unreal.
But I've been to Florida a lot.
That
and
might,
I don't
yeah.
care. They could be giving out houses for free. I would not live there.
What's the problem for you, Kevin? Is it the humidity and the bugs?
Both. Mm-hmm. And the people?
The people.
All of the above.
All of it.
Yeah, the hanging chads. That's what I was thinking.
Yeah.
That was my number one.
That's a timely reference that I just made. If you are in the area of the Pacific Palisades on Saturday and there's a lot of traffic, well, there's a reason. President Barack Obama is having a huge fundraiser taking place they haven't revealed where, but it's at a home.
Okay.
But you can learn where if you want to pay to go to it. There's going to be a huge musical guest, which TMZ found out is Jamie Foxx. So tickets for the event will set you back $1,000. But prime seating and a photo with the president? How much is that going for, Kevin?
$10,000?
Nailed it.
Is that right?
$10,000. You can get a good seat, see a little Jamie Foxx crooning the piano, and a photo with the president.
Obama and Biden. Are you kidding? The Three Stooges.
Those are two guys.
Maybe they're one and a half each. I don't know. I don't know what he was thinking.
That was good math.
Thank you.
Yeah, real good. Speaking of math, if you were wondering about Empire, if it's losing any of its steam in the ratings.
Yes.
No. Ratings on Wednesday night, 13 million viewers for Empire. I mean, that show is
a
huge juggernaut.
It's a juggernaut, yeah.
It is ridiculous. And American Horror Story Hotel, featuring Lady Gaga, had a lot of people tuning in as well for the season debut on Wednesday night. It pulled in 5.81 million viewers, which is good.
Yeah.
But it's down from last season's premiere, which had 6.13 million. Did either of you see it?
Didn't see it yet.
Yeah.
Me too. Those are good numbers for FX, though.
Absolutely.
Those are real good numbers for FX. Yeah.
Absolutely.
I got to be honest. I am a little squeamish when it comes to things in the butt.
Well, get ready.
And I keep hearing that that is a primary plot point on the premiere of American Horror Story Hotel. And yeah. I need to be pretty lubed up and ready for that. Ooh. To be able to watch it. I'm a little bit nervous about going into that dry.
Yeah. And you're never going to look at a drill the same way again.
See, again, yeah. You start talking about drills in the bedroom, I feel like it maybe isn't for me. But yeah. I hear good things about it, so maybe I'll get the nerve up this weekend.
Yeah, lube up for that. Over at Comedy Central, if you're wondering about Trevor Noah's first week on The Daily Show, his numbers were a third lower than they were a year ago with Jon Stewart at the helm. So,
I don't think that surprises anyone,
absolutely
right?
Absolutely not. Have you guys watched?
I haven't yet, no.
Yes.
I have watched, and I think he's delightful.
I think he's really good.
Yeah.
I think
really
he's really
funny.
Good. Yeah.
Really, he's self-deprecating, but he isn't, I was a little worried he'd be kind of smarmy,
yeah.
Did you get that joke?
Snarky.
And
kind of went, right,
no.
Right.
He's wonderful.
Look, it's always tough to follow a legend. You know, I mean, I wouldn't want to follow David Letterman, yet Stephen Colbert does a very different show that is also excellent. Same thing here. Trevor Noah, I miss Jon Stewart, but Trevor's put on a good show, too.
It is true. When we come back next hour, I'm going to tell you about a huge lawsuit involving a lot of pretty big names.
Okay.
Such as Jay-Z.
Oh.
Beyonce.
Oh,
wow.
Pharrell.
Oh.
All suing the same group.
Oh.
Yeah. That's a teaser. That's what I do. All these stars were born on today, the 9th of October, as we like to call it, Rocktober. Actor Brandon Routh is 36. I called him Brian in the last show.
Brian Brandon.
Because that's what I call him.
Okay.
Yeah. Chris O'Dowd, 36. Nick Swardson, 39. Director Guillermo del Toro is 51. Did you like that?
Yeah. I'd like to hear Chip say it next hour.
I'd like to hear it now. Say it, Chip.
Guillermo del Toro.
Nope. Got to roll that R. Go ahead, Chip. We've got time.
Roll
go ahead.
R. Just roll the R a little. Just a little.
I'm trying. I can still
come on, Chip. You can do it.
Just a little.
Toro.
Worst. Oh. That really was her attempting to roll the R. Oh, it's a gift. Scott Bakula is 61. Actor Tony Shalhoub is 62. And Sharon Osbourne turning 63 today. I'm Allie McKagan for Ralph Garman. Welcome to Showbiz Beat.
So many of our listeners wish we just wouldn't be here at all on Fridays, except for this 10 minutes. The only 10 minutes that counts when we go to Las Vegas to talk to our friend RJ Bell from pregame.com. Hit it, Steve.
Cause he's RJ Bell. RJ Bell.
Pregame.com is the exclusive odds provider for the Associated Press. RJ, how's Las Vegas, man? Are you down under 100 degrees yet this year?
You know something? It's just starting to dip down. So, October, 90 degrees, I can deal with it.
Isn't that something else? All right. Well, we have very much enjoyed having you on every week, every Friday of this season. You're doing pretty well. Had another good week last week, RJ. 2-1. You're now at 75% on the season. Your picks have been 9-3. And, to your credit, I know you're giving us the picks based on the line. To your credit, you knew Atlanta would beat Houston last week. You just didn't realize by how much, right?
You know, it's kind of funny. So, last season, 35-16 we were, and I'm going to keep repeating that because that was such a big year, 69%. This year, 9-3, so we're doing great. We always say, remember, you just want to win more and you lose. It's not this easy. But on Twitter, and I got to give your audience, a lot of credit because though we've been killing it, there's been a ton of love. And I keep saying, be careful, but I mean, very appreciative. But last week, 2-1, right? So the guy tweets me and says, hey, pretty good week, but man, oh, man, was that pick you lost the worst pick I ever saw, exclamation point. So 2-1, but you lose the one, and that was the focus. I think that probably epitomizes Twitter more than anything.
Exactly. And RJ is on Twitter at RJ in Vegas, and the website is pregame.com. All right, let's take a look at this. We've got some great matchups this week, and I'm very excited to hear what you have to say. Your underdog special is the Rams, who have really been, again, surprisingly great again this year against the Packers, who look like they're going all the way. What do you see happening with that game?
Yeah, so the public, and we talk about this a lot, they love obviously good teams. They just want to bet on the best teams. Why not if you have a choice, is their thinking. And so the value is the opposite. You've got to go against good teams. So how do you do that in a smart way? One, you can find perceived good teams that aren't really that good, or you can find opponents to those good teams that have some positive qualities. Now, there's not much to say about Green Bay that's negative. I mean, especially at home, this is one of the better teams in the NFL. But how do you beat the Packers? There's two key things. You've got to be able to run the ball, and that's something the Rams have started to do really well. They have a rookie running back, Todd Gurley, 146 yards last week.
Yeah, he's good.
They can run the ball. So that's factor one for the Rams. Number two, you've got to be able to pressure Aaron Rodgers without blitzing. And that's the trick, because if you blitz Rodgers, he's going to kill you. If you don't put pressure on Rodgers, he's going to kill you. You've got to be able to put pressure without blitzing. Well, St. Louis is one of the best teams in the entire league when it comes to that. So you add that up, and I think that the Rams look really good. And one last thing, because Rodgers might get pressured, Green Bay is going to be inclined to run the ball. They want to protect Rodgers. When you're getting 9.5 points, and that's what we're getting with the Rams, if the favorite is running the ball, that shortens the game, and that's really good with a big underdog. Underdog special, Rams plus 9.5.
That one is going to cause people a lot of headaches trying to pick it, but that's great advice you give there, RJ. All right, let's move on to the best bet, the sad Oakland Raiders versus the Denver Broncos. It's one of the most legendary rivalries in the NFL. What happens this weekend?
I'm going with best bet on the Raiders. And remember, the harder it is to make a bet, the better off you are. The easier it is, wow, that means everyone else is betting with you, and you don't want that. And I look to fade Denver. I mean, the reality is the public loves a winning team, and Denver has certainly been that since they've gotten Manning. And they love offense. You know, I call it football sexy. It's a lot of scoring, touchdowns. Well, Peyton Manning certainly has delivered that over the years. Even though Denver is winning, this is a very different team than even last year. Peyton Manning has shown his age. He's become a game manager. And Denver's defense is really, really good.
But they're playing the Raiders.
Well, listen, you bring up a great point. Because not only are the Raiders not good necessarily this year, this is a team that's been losing year after year after year. And remember, this is not an abstraction. It's not like, oh, I kind of like the Raiders. They lost. No big deal. When you bet on a team and you lose, you have less money than you did before you bet them. And the Raiders have cost a lot of people a lot of money. That's a great example of why they're unpopular. That's why there's going to be value in certain situations. And here's why it's this situation. Their coach, the Raiders, Jack Del Rio, was a defensive coordinator just last year for Denver. Not only was he the defensive coordinator, he actually was the interim head coach when the coach had a medical issue for multiple games. So this is the guy that understands Denver really, really well. And that's a huge factor. This one guy, he doesn't like to catch over his left shoulder. This defensive guy has trouble against the run. He has so much knowledge about Denver. That's a big advantage.
But that guy's team is the Raiders.
Well, listen, I agree. The fact you're saying that, you are a stand-in for the public right now.
I'm a sucker.
That's why there's value. It's like the pink car in the parking lot. If you don't mind pink, right, and you can get that car for $2,000 cheaper, might as well get the pink car. Well, the Raiders, that's our pink car this week. Best bet, plus 4.5.
Wow, our listeners are, if they take that one to the bank and it pays off, RJ, you're going to look like an effing hero, man. All right, and the big game, we have to wait until Monday night. It's Chargers versus Steelers. And the Steelers, they've had a frustrating season, haven't they?
Yeah, 2-2. I'm a Steeler fan. It's a great example of how if you're objective, you can use being a fan to your advantage because you really understand the team. And listen, Pittsburgh, 6 Super Bowls, popular, successful. But Big Ben is out. That's a very big deal. One of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. But then you got Michael Vick. That's a big name. People are thinking, okay, Big Ben, Vick, no big deal. Except this is a guy, Vick, that literally was on the street without a job in mid-August. Pittsburgh didn't pick him up till their regular backup got injured. So obviously this is not an elite quarterback anymore. That's a big disadvantage for Pittsburgh. In addition, the Steelers on the road. Last 35, 13-22 against the spread. Not good at all on the road. And when they travel outside of the Eastern time zone, 2-9 against the spread. Another advantage for San Diego here is anytime, and this is a great tip to kind of bring with you every week, when you have a night game in the NFL, West Coast teams have a big advantage. Think about their internal clock. When it's the fourth quarter for an East Coast team, doesn't matter where the game's being played, their internal clock is it's almost midnight. But for the West Coast team, it's 3 hours earlier. That's an advantage for San Diego. Lastly, San Diego hasn't been performing particularly well, but their offensive line has really been injured. That's something people aren't really aware of. They just see the score. Well, that O-line is getting healthier. So you add it all up, I think there's really big value. San Diego favored. They're the favorite by 3 points.
It is amazing to me how many different attacks you have, how many different angles you find to get your research together for these games. RJ Bell in Las Vegas on Twitter at RJ in Vegas. It's pregame.com. Recapping the picks for this weekend. Underdog special is the Rams plus 9.5 versus the Packers. You got the Raiders plus 4.5 versus the Broncos. And did you say San Diego minus 3 versus the Steelers?
Yes, is that right, we're RJ? Going with a favorite. San Diego's favored by the field goal.
All right. Well, I know you'll be hearing from the Kevin and Bean listeners on Twitter. Have yourself a great weekend. We'll do it again next Friday, sir. Thanks.
Thank you.
Cause he's RJ Bell. RJ Bell.
Brenda Oliva from Kudahe. Is that right? Is it Kudahe? Kudahe?
Kudahe.
Maybe. Sure.
Apologize, Brent. Brenda, I have never been to Cudahy, but thank you so much for listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. You're going to enjoy Six Flags Magic Mountain Fright Fest. Keep listening, your chance to win all week here on K-Rock. A couple of days ago, why was Ralph talking about your boyfriend, Billy Joel? Allie, do you remember what was the story that was in the news? Was he getting married again or arrested again?
No, he did get married to a very young woman and just had a baby. I know
that's
that.
That's what it was. Just had a baby. So Ralph's talking about how Billy Joel just had a baby. And whatever you think about his music, and I know he's not for everybody. Like, Kevin, you would never listen to a Billy Joel song. He's just old, right?
Probably not, yeah.
Yeah. No matter what you think about his music, that's not the point. The point is, you never would want to end up in bed with him, right? Ever. Nobody. Ever. He's Billy Joel. He looks like a toad. Allie gets all squishy when she hears Billy Joel's name. She's like, oh, I love him. Oh, he's so hot.
Do we have to use the word squishy?
I don't think we do.
Well, I don't know where that came from, but refresh my memory, Allie. What's your fascination? What's your love for Billy Joel and his big bug eyes?
I have loved him for a very long time. My babysitter listened to him.
Okay.
And I was like, oh, this guy is great.
Okay.
And then I saw the cover of An Innocent Man, and I was like, oh, Billy Joel, what a handsome, handsome dude. And it has just stayed with me. And I've loved his music. I've seen him.
Yeah, but you got to separate his music. I think you have to separate his talent.
I don't think I do.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah. So I've loved him forever. And I flew to Madison Square Garden to see him. He's someone that I've loved for forever. He can tell a great story up there.
Right.
I mean, let's be honest. He's gotten with some pretty hot chicks.
Yes, he has.
I'm not alone in this.
He's famous and rich, though.
But every time he's with one of them, they go, how does he do it? He's so ugly.
Well, because I think there's a lot behind people that you think, oh, my God, I love that person. It's not all about the looks, Kevin.
In his case, though,
I can't understand what you're saying.
Be honest, Allie. In his case, you are intentionally overlooking how hideous he looks because you like his personality so much and you're such a fan of his songs, right?
See, I don't see it as intentionally overlooking. If you were to meet some of my ex-boyfriends, you'd say, oh my God, some of the funniest guys, so charming, so amazing.
It's cute when you say you have ex-boyfriends.
Pleasing,
right?
Maybe not to everyone. Maybe not to most.
Okay, so if you see Billy Joel in a mall and that's not his music, that's not his career. Mm-hmm. But that's just Billy Joel walking toward you.
He's just working at the Wicks and Sticks. You don't even notice him.
Do I get a discount on candles?
I'm saying you don't go, I got to get me some of that. You don't, right?
Probably not, okay. But I don't think that about most people. I'm very into what somebody has to offer besides their looks, Kevin.
So in other words, what makes a guy sexy to you is a smaller percentage of how he looks than Absolutely. It might be for most people.
Absolutely.
I think that's probably true for most women.
Yeah, because
girls
are deeper.
Way better.
Yeah.
God bless girls.
Yeah.
No question about that.
So we started talking about how wrong, let's frankly, she's just wrong on Billy Joel. And nope. Then we started talking about, and we said, this would be a great phone topic for our listeners, celebrities that other people do not find attractive at all, but you think are really hot. Like, you really think they're sexy. And your friends are like, are you kidding him or her? That's what we're looking for right now at 1-800-520-1067. You're the only one you know who finds this celebrity sexy is the topic.
Now, I've been scouring the internet, you know, uh-huh. like I do with my searches.
Sure.
I can't find – I think I'm pretty shallow when it comes to looks.
Shocking.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Huh. Surprising, right?
Weird.
A woman does have to be a very specific type for Kevin to be into mm-hmm. her. And she has to – there's about a year and a half sweet spot of age they're allowed to be.
it's
right there between 21 and 23. That's about it.
That is not true, sir.
Anything beyond that, you're out.
I have a friend that loved Adrian Brody. And most people would look at him and go, oh, that bony, weird face, and he's like a bird.
Yeah, he's got that huge, crooked nose.
I don't know. I can see it, too.
Can you?
Yeah.
Huh.
And I wonder if some of that comes from he has played some very sympathetic characters you really root for him. All right, I've got one I'm going to throw out, and Kevin often accuses me of just saying things to shock people. But
you're a contrarian.
But this is for reals, right. Okay? And I'm not lying when I say this, and I know that she is not a classically beautiful woman. Having said that, she's been on tons of magazine covers where she looks great, and her name is Lena Dunham, and I find her very, very hot.
Huh.
Now, part of it might be what you're talking about, Allie, which is I love her show. Mm-hmm. I love her book. I think she's so funny and so charming, and I'm sure that adds to the total package for me.
Nope.
But I also think she's very sexy. Am I getting any kind of amen on that at all? Am I standing alone?
I can understand it. Absolutely.
I think there are probably people that agree with you.
Yeah.
I think she's super pretty.
She's,
okay, slow down.
Okay, take it easy.
Yeah.
So the thing is, you could say she's super talented. Uh-huh. She's super funny.
She's absolutely those things.
Okay,
if she worked at Wicks and Sticks,
right.
would you want her Wicks?
Yes, okay. I would think she was adorable. Even if I didn't know anything about her personality, huh. I would look at her and I would think that girl is adorable.
Interesting.
So that's mine. So Lena Dunham, that's mine. How about yours, Chip? You got one?
Willie Nelson.
Well, he's just hot. He's hot. He's braiding his hair every night.
He's just got all the good weed.
That's true.
All right, let's talk to Jessica real quick. Kevin, you're going to love this one. Jessica is in Long Beach, and she is online, too. Again, the topic is, if you're just joining us, the celebrity that you think is hot, but your friends can't get behind it. Welcome to the show, Jessica. What's going on?
Good morning, party people. How's it going?
Good, thank you.
Great.
Who do you find attractive that nobody else does?
Former Los Angeles Laker, Pau Gasol. He looks like a llama, and I am in love with it.
Pau Gasol.
He really does. He looks like a llama.
He does. There's something about that neck beard. I can't explain it.
Wow.
Do you like all neck beards?
No, not at all. This is a one-off.
That's so
now,
weird.
Is any of it, like we were talking about how Allie gives, you know, Allie gets into Billy Joel partly because of his personality, his talent, and stuff like that. Is some of it you love the way Pau Gasol plays basketball, or you like him as a, you know, to see him in interviews, or is there personality involved here too?
I hope that's part of it. There definitely has to be. I mean, he won a few championships, helped Kobe along the way.
Right.
God, he looks like a llama, and I'm in love.
I like that you admit immediately that he looks like a llama.
Right.
It's true. Everyone tells me. I know.
All right.
You are awesome, Jessica. Thank you so much for calling. All right. 1-800-520-1067. The hot celebrity. Your friends can't understand why you find him or her so attractive. We'll take your calls right after this on K-Rock. Talking about those famous people that, while they may be talented, no one finds them attractive but you. And I think you're absolutely on to something here, Kevin. Girls are great.
They're way better than guys.
Listen to this. Here's Steve Buscemi. Alicia writes in. Danielle has been hot for Jerry Seinfeld since forever.
Oh,
Jerry Seinfeld, is he attractive?
For sure.
Yeah, I think he's sort of, a lot of people find him attractive.
Oh, is he? Princess Vespa on the Kevin Bean Twitter account says, "I'm madly in love with Gary Oldman." Now, I bet you, if you were to go up to her and go, "Hey, are there any other 65-year-old guys you're into?" She'd probably say no. But there's something about Gary Oldman, I think, that really gets her.
Until Patrick Stewart came in, I had no idea.
Yeah,
he didn't love a 75-year-old, right? Yes, yeah, so
same,
hot. Right?
Same.
Right?
I thought of one too. Is Melissa McCarthy. Would be one for me.
Now that's interesting.
I like that.
She's awesome.
Yeah.
So because she's so talented and so funny, you find her sexy.
Yes.
All right. And you still have Tan Mom too, right? Tan Mom is another
tan
one.
Tan Mom
of you,
and
right?
That cat lady.
All right. Let's grab some more calls here at 1-800-520-1067. Let's try to mix it up, boys and girls. Why don't we start with a girl, Raquel in Corona, please? She's up first on line 7.
All right. Raquel, hi.
Hi there.
Hi. Who do you find attractive that most people don't?
Other than Ralph Garman, I'd say Zach Galifianakis.
Galifianakis.
Yeah. See, Zach, to me, looks like a regular good-looking guy. No, is that not the case?
Well, I don't think he's... he's not model-like.
I'm crazy.
Are you thinking Zach Galifianakis like 10 years ago, super furry face, big Zach, or now, which is a little more polished?
No, the fat Jesus, Zach Galifianakis.
I'm with
okay.
you.
All
I hear
right.
you. Raquel, right. you're making sense.
Make him laugh, make him breakfast, like Ralph always says, right? All right, let's go to a dude and get his take on a hot girl that he thinks is hot, no one else does. JT is up from El Monte, line 5, please.
Hey, JT.
Hey, what's up, party people?
We were talking about celebrities that maybe everyone doesn't find attractive, but you do. Who is it?
I have to go with Charlene Yee.
She's adorable.
But she looks like she stopped growing in fourth grade. She looks like a little kid.
You know, it's just that awkward personality she portrays on screen. It just, I don't know. I'm smitten with it.
Isn't that something?
You would, she's the word smitten.
I love that.
Dude, you would break her. You know that, right?
Well, wait. How tall are you, JT?
I am 6 foot.
Oh.
Yeah, you kill her. Yeah. All right. Thank you for the call. Here's a couple of texts, by the way, at 25767-2KROCK from the 714. Mickey Rourke gives me a lady boner.
Whoa.
Yes. Okay, even in his current facial state.
Now?
Wow.
That's what she's saying.
What?
Even in his current facial state. And I just wonder if this is similar to what Allie was telling us with Billy Joel, is that she fell for Mickey Rourke when he was young and attractive, mm-hmm. and it just never went away,
just
even
kept
though.
Going.
Yeah, even though his face went away.
He's trying his best to make that change, though.
From the 818, yeah, no kidding. From the 818, Ben in Chatsworth says, "Look, I know I'm alone on this, but Rachel Ray is dead sexy." Anyone?
I can see it. Yeah, she's going to make
really?
You a pot roast.
She seems a little more classically pretty than the people that we're talking about,
yeah.
no?
I think so.
I would think other people would find her attractive. I don't, but.
You know. All right, let's go to
Dee Dee.
All right, Dee Dee it is.
He's got some choices. Hi there.
Hi.
Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. What celebrities are you attracted to?
I really have a thing for Kevin James and Louis C.K.
Wow.
Okay, Louis C.K. was on my top 5 list for a long time.
Right?
He dipped a little bit. This last season of Louis, I'm like, calm down. All right, chill out, Louis.
I've always had a thing for kind of like schlubby guys.
Yeah.
Like when I watched the show, like his personality is what did it for me because I'm exactly the same way.
Dee Dee, you live in the perfect time in history if you're into schlubby guys. You live in the right country at the right point in history.
No, because
you can go out any day of the week and find as many schlubby guys in cargo shorts as you want.
Now, we focused on Louis C.K., but Kevin James was her first choice.
You get that,
yeah.
Kevin.
Yes. King of Queens. Like, he was just always kind of silly and funny. And I don't know. Like, he's just, I've got a thing for guys that can make me laugh.
Okay.
And he'd deliver packages. If you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, right.
All right. Thanks for the call. Let's go to Edward, please. Los Angeles. He's on line 7. I think it's time for a guy to tell us what girl he finds attractive, others may not.
Hey, Edward.
Hi. Thank you for having my call.
Of course.
I find Amy Poehler very, very attractive.
Well, I am with you.
I do
I'm
too.
With you.
Yeah. I do too. I feel like she falls into the category that most would.
No, but no? The thing is, like, when I watch her on Parks and Rec, I don't know, like, she's in a pantsuit, and, like, I'm so conflicted because my libido wants her, but my mind's like, nah, better not. But she's just got something about Like, her eyebrows are super, super sharp, and I think it's maybe because I like blondes, and she's hilarious, so she can make me laugh when I can make her laugh. It's kind of like a power trip. I don't know.
Well, you're giving this a lot of thought.
I want to hear you talk about Amy Poehler all day. She's got sharp eyebrows.
Edward, let me ask you this question, because I'm curious to hear what your take is, because we got a note on the Kevin and Bean Facebook page from Jamie, who says, I get asked for it all the time, but I think Kristen Wiig is so hot.
Absolutely.
What do you think, Edward?
Kristen Wiig in, I think it was Bridesmaids or whatever. Mm-hmm. Oh, man, I fell in love with her.
I think she's hot, too.
The humor. Yeah. I think it's the humor.
Yeah. Yeah, she's a total package, just like Amy Poehler, just total package. All right, thank you so much for the call. We appreciate listening. Let's do one more real fast. Allie, you wanted Allison, right?
Allie, line three.
Let's go to Allie, line three.
I like the girl that has my name.
Well, no, I like it because I understand this, but most won't.
Hey, Allie.
Hello, how's it going?
Good, thank you. Who do you find attractive that most people don't?
Most people really think that I'm very strange for finding Alan Rickman very attractive, and I'm not talking diehard Alan Rickman. I'm talking Snape in Love Actually Alan Rickman.
He was Harry in Love Actually, and he cheated on his wife, Emma Thompson, with Mia the Secretary. I get it.
But how is Snape sexy, though? How?
I think it has something to just do with his voice. I cannot help but that voice is just so sexy.
You know he's 70, right?
So?
That's the
right?
Okay. All right.
Soup?
All right. If you're in, you're in.
Thanks for the call. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:53.
Friday means the movie beat. That's coming up next half hour here on K-Rock. And our old friend Seth Green from Robot Chicken. I think he's calling us from New York Comic Con.
I believe so.
I think is where Seth is. So that's coming up. First, though, in for Ralph Garman with the Showbiz Beat. Here's Alan.
A huge lawsuit is a brewing against a French T-shirt company. Being sued by Beyonce, Jay-Z, Kanye West, Rihanna, and Pharrell Williams.
Wow.
Oh, my. Yeah, it's against a group called 11 Paris. It's a t-shirt company that habitually infringes on their trademarks, copyrights, and intellectual property. And they also accuse 11 Paris of unfair competition because all of those superstars have their own clothing lines. And you may be saying, well, what kind of t-shirts are they? Well,
what kind of t-shirts are they?
Thanks for asking. They contain really clever slogans on them like, Kanye is my homie and Pharrell is my brother.
Really?
Are you kidding me?
Really?
What?
Is anyone buying those?
Apparently so. Kanye is my homie, and Pharrell is my brother.
How is that? Oh. Is that just an infringement because you're literally not allowed to use their name? Is that what it is?
I guess so. You just can't use their likeness or any...
No, I was talking about a different Kanye.
Right.
That would be my argument.
Right. Kanye Berkowitz. He lives in Hancock Park. You know
what I mean? What you're talking about.
Goodness gracious. All right, we talked about Tom Cruise leaving. Not yet.
Going back home?
Yeah, going actually to Clearwater, Florida, but another celebrity home is up for sale. Tyra Banks is putting her Beverly Hills Spanish Colonial home on the market. Gated courtyard, pool, fireplace, handcrafted tiles, gym in the garage. Kevin, how much are you paying for Tyra's house in Beverly Hills?
I would guess $15 million.
Nope.
Do I have to guess
it? Yep, keep going.
I don't think we have that kind of time.
Yeah, we do.
Not high enough? 20 million?
No.
Not
lower,
high enough?
Lower. Much lower. That's why I'm saying this is a steal in Beverly Hills. $7.75 million.
Wow.
We should go in on it, you guys.
I got that on me.
Right?
Ooh. Should make that a Kevin Bean clubhouse.
That's a weenie.
Just a place to hang after the show.
We need a clubhouse.
I like it. Right.
A clubhouse.
We do.
It's the worst after school special ever waiting to happen. Well, something happened last night at the Greek. Or the Hollywood Bowl. Good thing.
Something happened last night somewhere.
We have an intrepid reporter that was on the scene. It was at the Greek Theater.
It was the Greek.
And Chip, our intrepid reporter, was there to see garbage and quite the moment at the beginning.
We've all seen Spinal Tap, right? And just like, you know, they go play shows and stuff happens. They're like the eggshell wouldn't open and the bassist is stuck. I must have seen the most Spinal Tap band moment I've ever seen. So the band comes out, they start playing, but the first song, there's an opaque curtain in front of them. Uh-huh. Like, you can see silhouettes, but you can't, you know, see them.
Right.
It's there for the first song, there for the half of the second song, apparently it was supposed to drop at some point, and it didn't.
At all.
So you see a stagehand running across the stage and trying to pull it down. And it comes down on top of the guitar player.
No!
It knocks Shirley Manson's, like, mic.
Oh, my God.
But the band was, you know, super professional, and they played that song, played the second song, and then afterwards, Shirley Manson's like, guys, did you see that? That was ridiculous.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it was the best thing I've ever seen.
Wow. And then the drummer died, just like in Spinal Tap,
yeah, just exploded.
Right?
I don't think that's not part of her story.
Apologies. Mm-mm. Greek theater, though.
Greek.
Okay.
Yeah.
Excellent. Chip's rather perky for being up very late.
She is.
Garbage.
Yeah. Meth. She
is. Is it meth?
Yeah, a lot.
I was wondering what stunted her growth. It was meth.
I got like 2 hours of sleep. I'm probably going to pass out like at 9:45.
Excellent.
Can't
Looking
wait.
Forward to that. It'll be good times. Well, we talked about it earlier, and it's just, it's crazy. In June, John Stamos was arrested. Cops spotted him driving erratically in Beverly Hills, but he was so out of it that they didn't take him right to jail. They said, we got to get this guy to a hospital. Something is not right. Well, apparently, he was driving under the influence of GHB, the so-called date rape drug. And you may be saying to yourself, well, did somebody roofie him? Did he roofie himself? What is happening? This is the strangest thing I've ever heard. Sources say that the actor was taking the drug to lean out body mass as he prepared for his new TV show. The drug is used by bodybuilders for lean muscle and for a level of sleep, which helps muscles recover.
Hmm.
I've never heard of that.
I haven't either.
That's weird.
Yes, but a criminal case will be filed soon, and the charging documents will outline the drugs found in his system. But he went to rehab almost immediately after that arrest and completed a 30-day live-in treatment successfully. So
sometimes I feel like that's PR.
Yeah, just kind of, okay, he's in rehab. Let's stop talking about it. He's getting the help
sometimes,
he needs.
Sometimes, yeah.
But GHB.
That's weird. I wonder if there is any difference in the driving penalty if you are arrested for being impaired driving, whether it is intentional by drinking or unintentional by the side effect of a drug. I wonder if that's a defense or if they cut him a break because he wasn't. It's not like he was out there drinking and trying to be impaired. I don't know.
Yeah, can remember all those times when people would take Ambien and then not realize they were driving and they'd wake up in jail and what the heck happened?
Yeah, yeah.
I wonder if it's the same type of thing.
He roofied himself.
Yeah.
That's how handsome he is. He had to have some of that. I got to get me some John Stamos. Look at me.
That is not funny.
It's not funny at all.
Not funny at all, nope. Bean. Oh, these stars were all born on October 9th. Or October.
I'm not getting even going to play the sound effect.
That doesn't even deserve the sound effect.
Nope.
Rocktober!
Get it together, Allie.
Sorry. Sharon Osbourne is 63. Actor Scott Bakula is 61. Tony Shalhoub, 62. Director Guillermo del Toro is 51. Actor Nick Swardson, 39. Chris O'Dowd, 36. And actor Brandon Routh is 36 years old. I'm Allie McCann for Ralph Garman, walking the showbiz beat.
That was 21 Pilots?
Yep. Yeah.
Yep, I'll allow it. Hey, what about our old friend Seth Green calling? He might be calling from the floor of the New York Comic Con, which is in progress this weekend. Hey, Seth, what's going on, buddy?
Hi, guys.
Are you calling from the Comic Con right now? Are you in a closet somewhere? Are you under a Darth Vader mask? How are you making this phone call?
I'm actually still at the hotel. I've got a series of things to do before I hit the con today.
Name them.
All like, related to press and promotion for the shows that are happening.
Gotcha. Hey, what's big at New York Comic Con? What's exciting? What's the hot ticket this year?
I don't know. I haven't gotten to see the floor. I think everybody likes Walking Dead. I think everybody's excited about Star Wars. You know, people like Batman, Turtles,
wow,
that kind of stuff.
What a bulletin. People like The Walking Dead and Star Wars. You're blowing my mind, yeah. Seth.
Oh, yeah. No, I got a real scoop for you.
Yeah.
It seems like the people that are attending the Comic-Con, they like comic books.
Really?
Comic book-related things and characters. Yeah, it's crazy.
That's strange.
It's crazy.
This is very educational. All right. Well, listen.
I'll tell you the difference. I will. I'll tell you the difference between New York and, say, San Diego, for example. San Diego has become the place where all of the companies, all of the press, all of the promotion, all of the meeting of celebrities has been replaced, you know? So it's less about the costumes. It's less about the vendors. And it's really just about, hey, what's coming out and who do you want to meet from what show? So, whereas New York is still 90% vendors. It's still all fan-driven. There's tons of costumes, tons of people. And you can buy stuff at every booth. There's very little, you know, just promotion. There's a ton of panels, but it's really all about everybody kind of meeting and hanging out.
Which smells better?
Listen, no matter how well air-conditioned a convention center is, when you fill it end-to-end with people that are moving and excited, everybody's going to get sweaty.
Yep.
Okay. Everybody's going to get sweaty. All right.
That is true. That's a good visual, good image, good for our listeners eating breakfast. Yeah. Thank you for that, Seth.
Well, I'll give it to you this way. I was just in New Orleans, and we were packed in tons of people that were sweating because it is hot in New Orleans.
Yeah.
But the mood is such, the energy is such that everyone's just excited to be there. Everyone's excited to be together. No one really gets bothered by those things. It's just easy to point at those from outside. When you're really in the center of that kind of
soup.
Fearless, shameless expression of passion, you kind of more get caught up in that and don't care about things like whether somebody's sweating.
Right. Fair enough. Seth Green is on the line here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Big, big weekend for Seth, as is the return of his Robot Chicken with a DC Comics special number 3. This one's called Magical Friendship. It airs this Sunday night at midnight on Adult Swim. You love you some animation more than you love anything, don't you, Seth?
I do love animation, but I don't know about more than anything.
Well, you make a lot of it, is what I'm saying. You generate a large quantity of animation. This is the 8th season of Robot Chicken.
I know, that's crazy. Well, that doesn't really feel like a job to me, as weird as that sounds. It's still just me and good friends of mine getting together with people that we think are funny and trying to make each other laugh about all this pop culture.
Right.
Tell us about Robot Chicken DC Comics Special 3, Magical Friendship.
Well, there's a lot of emphasis in pop this year about Batman and Superman and their relationship with the new movie coming out. There's sort of a fever pitch about both of those characters. And they're really fun. Both of them are so iconic and so distinct and sort of polarizing with fans. But when you get right down to it, there's a lot of reasons for them to both like and dislike each other. And when we talked with Geoff Johns from DC about what this special would be, we all agreed Batman and Superman would be the focus, and what a fun way to sort of explore their magical friendship through, you know, a massive conflict that spreads across the multiverse.
And it does seem like that Batman would have, look, as great as the Dark Knight is, Seth, he's got to have an inferiority complex about the things that Superman is able to do. I mean, there's no way around that. No matter how cool you are, you look over and you see the other guy is just as cool or maybe cooler, right?
Yeah, well, Superman is the ultimate superpowered person. He's got all of the powers of everybody in the Justice League, and everybody in the Justice League just has to sort of deal with their single power or skill set and we're just like, well, we're going to back you up, Superman. I'm here for you with my bow and arrow.
I like that you're Superman in this special. He's a bit of a dick.
We've always played Superman as kind of the Eric Neese of the real world. Like, when we first started doing superheroes, I'll take you back. When we when we first started doing superheroes, in our original webisodes, we did a thing called the Real World Metropolis, which was all the superheroes living in a house in a reality show setting. And we focused on the archetypes of each of those characters as if they were the archetypes in the real world. They always seemed to put together a very specific group of people. And so Superman became the unapologetically accomplished guy. Got it to believe me, thank goodness.
Yep.
Yeah.
Sorry, guys. It's been a long week.
No worries.
I understand.
I love the fact we're going to play a clip. We're going to play a clip here from Robot Chicken DC Comics Special number 3, Magical Friendship. Again, it airs this Sunday night.
I think it's a week from Sunday.
You are correct, Sunday, October 18th at midnight on Adult Swim. Yes, and you'll get an idea of what we're talking about with the rivalry and the ribbing that goes on between Batman and Superman.
You two fight like cats and dogs.
He's just cranky because I pointed out that a rich guy with no powers in a bat suit is cosplay.
Damn it, Superman, is this more of your hilarious commentary on how I have no powers?
Hey, this isn't all about you. Green Arrow is also a powerless muggle.
What?
Just
another Superman I found on Earth B.
I brought muffins.
Muffins.
What's so great, Seth, and then we'll let you go to your con. What's so great, and I remember how amazed you were at the beginning when DC signed on to let you have these characters and have free reign with them, and they really do give you tons of rope to play with, which is awesome. And Star Wars does the same thing. I mean, that must make you feel so good that you're welcome in those universes.
Well, of course, we're big fans of all of these universes, and getting to play with these characters is incredible. Jeff Johns said something the last go-around that really stuck with me. He said, you can't break these characters. There's coexisting iterations of them in multiple forms, from Nolan's Batman to the Play School Batman. So they can be all of these things to everyone, and it's what defines them as icons, that you can tell any version of any story with them, and they're still the same characters. You can't ruin them.
Having said that, and you are pretty much the king of comic books and Comic-Con, and you've been in this world for so long. No, do you still get people that are like, hey, I don't like the way you're portraying Superman. I don't like the way you're portraying Batman. Do you get a lot of that still or not anymore?
Oh, yeah. Fans are deeply passionate about the things that they're fans of, and so you're always going to come across somebody that has such a hyper-specific view of something that they're really unwilling to consider it in another form. But that's the best part about where we live and entertainment, is that you can always change the channel. You know what I mean? You're not really forced to watch or, you know, be entertained by anything.
Great stuff. All right, Seth Green, enjoy New York, my friend. Look for Robot Chicken coming back soon on Adult Swim. The special looks awesome. We really appreciate your time. Have a great weekend, all right?
All right, guys. Talk to you soon.
Thank you, man.
Kevin, you know how, and I think this happens all the time, somebody comes to you and they go, hey, you want to go to the movies, but you have to decide within the next 6 seconds whether you're in or not, and you don't know anything about the movie?
It does happen all the time.
All the time. Well, now there's a website for you. It's 6secondreviews.com, where you find out whether the movie is worth going to see in 6 seconds or less. And the genius behind that is our friend Russ Leatherman. He is the movie man, and he is in for Ralph Garman this week on the Movie Beat. Hey, Russ, whatever your name is, welcome back to the Kevin Bean Show. How are you?
You can call me Russ, no problem. I've been called a lot of stuff, never rest.
Russ, how many movies do you see in whatever time period you want to share with us? A week, a month, a year? Can you keep track of those things?
Well, I can tell you this. This week, 2.5 movies.
Two and a half. Oh, that means you walked out of something.
Yeah, so we'll talk about that in a few minutes. But first, let's talk about a couple movies I don't think you should walk out of. You should spend a little time on. A movie that no one has probably even heard of or is thinking about going to see this weekend. A movie called 99 Holmes. Do you know about this movie?
99 Holmes.
I don't know about this movie.
All right.
Well, the King of Mexico actually thought it was 99 Holmes.
Yeah.
It's not that.
Not that.
It's Holmes, as in houses.
Oh, now, not Mexicans. Gotcha.
I know this sounds like something that's not interesting, but it's a movie that focuses on the housing crisis. You remember 7-8 years ago when everybody was getting booted out of their houses, getting evicted, their families, everybody else. Andrew Garfield, who's an awesome actor, plays a desperate man, takes a job kicking other people out of their houses so his family can stay in his. Michael Shannon also stars, who's always awesome in everything he does. Laura Dern's in the movie. Now, this probably doesn't sound that interesting to you, does it?
I mean, on the face of it, maybe not.
No.
Okay, here's your 6-second review.
The Movie Man 6-second review starts now.
With great performances from Michael Shannon and Andrew Garfield, 99 Holmes is a crisis worth reliving. I'm in.
Some movies good, some movies not so good. All you need to know in 6 seconds flat at 6secondreviews.com.
Here's the thing with this movie.
He's in.
It's a movie that, again, nobody's going to think about, but Andrew Garfield, if you're familiar with him and his work, he's just a great actor. And Michael Shannon, I don't think he's ever done anything that I just wasn't riveted watching. And it's a movie, we all remember the housing crisis 7-8 years ago. We know some people who were either lost their homes or were thrown out of their homes. And it's great drama. So this is a grown-up movie. You know, this is not Pan or something else that you go
see.
Not
for Kevin.
It's probably not for Kevin.
How
but this is,
dare you.
This is very adulty. So if you want to go check out a nice adulty movie, go see 99 Holmes.
All right. Up next is one we've been hearing about for a long time. The very controversial leader of Apple, Steve Jobs, has a biopic.
Yeah, this is, I think, the third movie in not a very long period of time. We had the Ashton Kutcher Jobs movie.
Mm-hmm.
We had a documentary not that long ago, actually a month or so ago. And now we have, it's based on a biography written by Aaron Sorkin. Now, if that name's not familiar to you, you guys know he did The Social Network,
yep.
Moneyball, The Newsroom.
All of The West Wing.
All of The West Wing. Mm-hmm. So he's a very famous writer. And you don't get that many famous writers, but he's one of them because of his style of writing. Right? That whole ping pong, that verbal volleyball thing he likes to do with his characters. It's directed by Danny Boyle, who did Slumdog Millionaire. Fantastic. 127 hours. So this particular Steve Jobs movie builds a story around a very tense trio of product launches, which included the Macintosh in 1984, his next project after he'd been booted out of Apple, and then the iMac in 1998. Let's listen to a clip.
Based on the blood test, which said there was a 94.1% chance that I'm the father.
You're trying to publicly paint me as a slut and a whore.
Believe me, I'm not trying to publicly do anything with you.
2 million people read Time. How am I supposed
to? It would be more if they put me on the cover, but Dan Kopke decided to kidney
yesterday.
Punch me. I'm sorry?
I said I applied for welfare yesterday. The Time article said your Apple stock was worth $441 million. And I wanted to ask you how you felt about that.
Well, I feel like Apple stock has been dramatically undervalued. This would be a good time to get in.
Yeah. Russ, yeah. Look, he's a genius of industry, but Steve Jobs was a dick, right?
What a dick.
Yeah, Steve Jobs the a-hole. And that's kind of what this movie is. And it's a little bit, I think, about what the family's upset about, what even people in Silicon Valley are upset about, because this movie paints a picture of a very sort of dark, evil genius who's ruthless and egomaniacal and will really roll over anybody, including his own daughter, which we just heard the clip from, to get ahead. With that said, it's a movie, right? Like, this is it's based on true stuff, but it's also fictionalized to a point. So I think the family is saying, you're just painting a picture of Steve Jobs the dick. Where's Steve Jobs just the genius? And mm-hmm. and the guy who came around as far as his family's concerned and all of that sort of stuff. With all of that said, it's clearly the best Steve Jobs movie. It's riveting from beginning to end. I wasn't annoyed by the writing from Sorkin, and oftentimes I am. I couldn't watch The Newsroom because I just felt
you're
like
a terrible human being.
Well, I'm with you, Russ.
Don't you feel like his writing feels so self-important?
Yes.
Yes, and unrealistic most of the time, too, of course.
And he just loves himself so much. I didn't get wrapped up in that in this movie. And Fassbender, who looks nothing like Steve Jobs, 10 minutes in, after you've let that go, is just fantastic. We'll be talking about him come Oscar time, no doubt. So if you're going to see a Steve Jobs movie, this clearly the one to check out.
Fantastic.
All right. We're talking to Russ Leatherman, the movie man from 6 Second Reviews here on The Kevin Bean Show. This week's movie beat, Ralph Garman is out. The last film is maybe the worst film, from what I'm understanding. It's called Pan.
I don't know how you could say that, Bean. Come
well,
on now.
You did walk out of one of the movies.
Well, that's a good point. I sort of said I set myself up here.
Yeah.
This is another Pan movie. We haven't had enough. And here's the question. Who would have the nuts to make another Pan thing after we had Christopher Walken in that TV deal? Right? Like, why would you even revisit that?
Yeah, let it rest for a while. Let us forget about that before you ruin us again.
Well, and with Christopher Walken, it's just not going to get any better than that train wreck. But this is a prequel. This is the Pan story before Peter was Pan, where he got to meet all the bad guys and got swept away from the orphanage, all of that stuff. Hugh Jackman plays back Blackbeard, and everybody loves Hugh Jackman.
Sure.
I love him.
Sure.
You have Rooney Mara, Amanda Seyfried, Siegfried Sayroy, whatever it is. She's awesome.
She's awesome, right?
Just in general. So this movie might be good. You want to find out?
Yes.
Here we go. Here's a 6 second review.
We have an ancient prophecy from when the fairy kingdoms reigned on this island. The prophecy tells of a boy born of the love between a fairy prince and a human girl. A boy who would be disappeared from this world until he was old enough to return and lead an uprising against me. A boy, so says the prophecy, who could fly.
Well, that doesn't sound great out of context.
That's not. Lord. I mean, that clip doesn't make it sound good.
No, but here's the thing. You don't even need a six-second review because this movie blows.
It's a one-second review.
You just need a two-word review. And here's the problem with the movie. It's dark. And I mean not only dark in tone. Like, it's sort of dark in tone, but it's friggin' dark in the theater. It's one of those movies. It's like trying to watch your TV at 3 o'clock in the afternoon when the sun is beating down on it from over your shoulder.
You literally can't see it?
You can't see. You put on the 3D glasses, and all of a sudden it's like watching a movie like a blind man. Which, by the way, I didn't mean to do, but at about the 40-minute mark, I had to go.
So it's terrible and you can't see it.
It's terrible. You can't see it. And I had to go.
The food is awful and the portions are so small. All right. So it sounds like a big yes for grown-ups for 99 Homes, a yes for everybody for Steve Jobs, the genius dick, and maybe a no for the world for Pam. That is Russ Leatherman. He is the movie man. 6secondreviews.com. Have a great week, sir. We'll talk to you again.
Thanks as always, guys. Have a great weekend.
Thank you. It is the Friday that Dodgers baseball fans have been waiting for a long time. The return to the postseason, a quest for another World Series title. Dodgers versus Mets tonight, Dodger Stadium. Yasiel Puig, will you be in the lineup?
Of course I'll be in the lineup. I feel very good. I'm very happy to play baseball. Mm-hmm. And before we talk about the Dodger baseball, I want to say everybody, gather your hand together with your friend, your family, and we say prayer for Vin Scully. Vin Scully, he's very sick, but he's going to be okay.
He's going to be all right.
Uh-huh. And I love Vin Scully so much because when I first come to America to play baseball for Dodger, Vin Scully take me to top of hill in Allegiant Park to look at Dodger Stadium. And Vin Scully and I smoke weed.
I don't think that happened.
We took bungalow with Vin Scully and kissed me on my face.
What?
I don't think that.
He did. He said, young Yasiel Puig, come here. You're a very handsome man.
Do you know who Vin Scully is?
Vin Scully was vice president for James Polk.
He's the Dodgers announcer, and for folks who don't know, he did have a minor surgery yesterday. We think it's minor. They say he is recovering at home. He's resting comfortably, but he will miss the postseason, so we will not hear him calling the games, which is very sad for Dodgers fans because that's half the fun of baseball.
I love him.
It sounds like. It sounds like you know a lot about him, too.
I do.
So how about you? Speaking of health, you have had a rocky few weeks. You missed most of September. I guess you've come back a couple of games recently. Are you healthy for the playoffs, Yasiel?
Oh, I'm very healthy. I feel never be better. I was in Cuba this morning. I flew here directly from Cuba, visit my great aunt. It's my only living family member because the Cuban government has murdered everyone I know.
Oh,
but
man. Really?
I visit my aunt and she gave me special, you know, she gave me recipe, make me healthy.
Oh, like a secret family recipe?
That's right.
I thought you had isn't it a hamstring issue? Isn't it a muscle?
Yeah, she know how to use how do you say in America the ligament rub on my hamstring. She make it out of pear cactus and rhino hymen.
Wait, she actually found some rhino hymen for you in Cuba?
Sometimes you go to in Cuba, you get it imported from Cambodia. It's the hymen of the rhino. And she make it into paste and you
and
boil it.
My
hamstring feels so good already. Run fast, play baseball, you hit home run.
Uh-huh. Now, is it a short-acting thing, or is it does it work for a long time?
I mean, she give me some in jar to take.
To bring with you.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I
have
to. Sometimes I have problem with custom, but that's why I buy my own plane, too. If I can go back and forth.
That's smart.
It's nice.
Okay.
Got spinners.
The plane has spinners?
Your plane has spinners?
Oh, yeah. It says, Yasiel Puig on the side. It's a picture of me, and I'm flexing my muscle.
Sure.
I'm dressed like Jesus Cristo, but I hit home run with my left hand. I flex my muscle with my right hand. It's great.
It sounds beautiful.
It's beautiful, yeah.
So, Yasiel, just a couple of basics, because you have had some problems, some issues in the past with the Dodgers. You will be on time to the stadium tonight. You will not miss the start of the game, right?
I will not miss the start of the game, I hope. But I have, you know, my pregame ritual.
But this is pretty, this is an important time of the year.
It's an important game.
You need to be there.
From what I hear, it's the beginning of the playoffs.
Right, that's what it is.
Yes. Somebody say
so
that.
So I'm saying maybe you should try to be on time.
I know,
just get there early.
You know, sometimes I think What's more boring? I be on time or I do ritual which make me play baseball the best?
Well, can't you do both?
We would like to think so.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well,
what's the ritual then?
Sometimes I put Jericho activator on my hair. Okay. And I see in Indian style.
Okay.
With the cross leg.
Right.
Okay. And I put four naked women on in front of me and I eat arroz con pollo off of their boobies.
Okay. Well, how long could that take?
All right.
So far, by the candlelight.
So far, so good.
By the candlelight of the Virgin Mary candle.
Oh,
it's very good. Sir, sure. It's very good. Make you very, very happy inside, my friend.
Sure.
Yeah.
Hey, whatever.
Siopui, indeed.
All right. Well, listen, we got to go, but we wanted to wish you and the team.
Wait, is that it though? Is that your entire thing? Or?
Well, I thought that was it. I thought that was your whole ritual. No,
that is my ritual. I had to change because when I was a little boy, it's different in Cuba. In America, I have many, many, the freedom to do things I like, make me feel good.
Right.
But I had so much the struggle when I was in Cuba. You know, I had to come here on a corrugated tin roof. I made a raft out of it. And I lost seven people. I was the only one to make it to Florida. And then I remember the very first time I had to play baseball. They say, "Hey, Yasubui, you have your own baseball?" I said, "No, I don't have one. I don't have enough money." They say, "Well, you got to get a baseball if you want to play in our league." So I made it out of foreskin and twine. And I used my own foreskin. I shave it off with razor blade.
And that's commitment.
It is. But
yeah. That it is.
You know, and I have a very clean penis to thank for it, though.
Dean, I apologize. You were trying to end it.
I was trying to get out of this.
I asked one more question.
Did I ever tell you about how I used to provide bumpkins for me. Bob Hope?
Okay. Thank you, Yasilpui. Good luck tonight. Have a great series against the Mets.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:53.
I am very impressed you were not still chewing when that song ended, Kevin. Well done,
I don't know
sir.
What you're talking about, Bean.
I'm just saying you're getting professional.
That's never been said.
Getting professional. A little late in the run to start, but congratulations.
Like
good. Hey, how about another look at the showbiz beat here on a Friday morning? Ralph is out. Allie is in. What you talking about, sister?
Before we get to it, you're drinking your chocolate milk early.
Yes, my habit is 9 a.m. I treat myself to some chocolate milk.
Yeah.
And you're right. I'm about 5 minutes early today. Why? Why do you bring it up?
Do we have time to discuss that?
I feel like something's off. It's usually, you lead up to it, it's a celebration.
Allie, right. Tell me what you emailed me while I was on vacation about being.
It was one of those situations where I know I'm not supposed to engage.
Right.
But I had to.
Right.
Because he said, "You guys, I'm going to go get my chocolate milk." And then he leaves for a bit. Then he comes back and he was just like, okay, what's going on? I mean, Allie, it's a celebration. When I drink the chocolate milk, I feel like I did something to deserve it. And then when I have it, it's just such a celebration for what I've been through.
And then you asked him, so you can't drink it at 8 o'clock?
You can't do it. It's 7, 8, 9 o'clock is the cutoff for the chocolate milk. So the fact that he said, I'm going to go grab my chocolate milk.
Wow.
Something's off.
Now, do you believe you deserved it extra today?
You know what it is?
Because you still got 5 minutes, dude.
Yeah, this is weird.
I know. Look, believe me, this is something I wrestle with as well. But the truth of the matter is, it's Friday. I'm not saying I'm coasting, but I am saying that I can see the end of the week ahead.
Okay.
And I feel like I'm going to make it, and it's making me happy. And I feel like, you know, this is that after-work drink. I'm just having it a little bit early. That's all.
Okay.
Everything's going to be good. This is going to be great. We're going to be a tremendous, dynamic final hour for the week on the Kevin and Bean Show. I promise you that. I will do my part. This will not slow me down.
Mm-hmm. So it's 9 o'clock somewhere, you're saying?
it's 9 a.m. somewhere, okay. So have some chocolate milk.
All right.
Someone didn't love you enough when you were little, did they?
Time for the Showbiz Beat. Here's Allie.
All right, you guys. We talked about it earlier, and a lot of people seemed to miss this yesterday when it was announced. But the Dodgers announced this via Twitter yesterday. Quote, Vin Scully underwent a recommended medical procedure this morning and is resting comfortably. On the advice of his doctors, Scully will miss the Dodgers postseason games to rest up, but is looking forward to returning in 2016.
Oh, no! This is a colossal disaster!
Really is sad. Really
sad.
Don't you
dare die, Vin Scully.
I don't think anybody wants that.
No, nobody does. I'm saying I want Vin in the booth when the Dodgers win a World Series. If not this year, then next.
Absolutely. I hear you. All right, you guys, a lot of people, again, on Twitter a couple days ago were tweeting about Justin Bieber.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Not just any
Justin Bieber story, but a hashtag I saw was Justin Bieber's dong. That's the one that made me click on it. And
sure.
Well,
like you do.
He's gifted, is all I'm going to say. Pictures of him in Bora Bora naked. Telephoto lens.
Okay.
Zooming in on his penis.
Penis.
And I'm going to tell you right now, they didn't need the telephoto lens.
Is that right?
Yeah, yeah. Justin Bieber. And, of course, he then sent out all the cease and desists. The lawyers got involved. Take those down immediately.
Yes.
This is such an invasion of privacy.
That's the fake outrage, right?
Well, it turned out, according to TMZ, their sources said as soon as Justin started seeing people tweeting, like, dude, be proud of it.
Right.
Don't take those pictures down. Justin was like, yeah, just keep sending out those letters. Keep this kind of out there in the press, because that's when I saw it. When somebody said, oh my gosh, these pictures, and now his lawyers are getting involved, I had to see those pictures. And God bless you, Justin.
Just hand me something that looks like a sandwich, and I'll put it in my mouth.
I don't know
that guy's an idiot.
What that has
that
to
is.
Do with anything, but he's apparently seen the pictures as well.
I like penis.
Wow. What's happening?
I don't know. There seems to be a lot of banked clips of me talking about
it. Maybe
big,
bank.
Thick.
All right, Rodney.
All right.
Oh, goodness gracious. Something that came to light yesterday. Selena Gomez, do you remember back when she was rumored to be in rehab and people were saying, oh, her breakup with Justin just sent her over the edge and she was drinking a ton? Well, no, she was actually undergoing chemotherapy because it was revealed that she has lupus.
Really?
Wow. Like, how sad is that, that people think you have gone off the deep end and you're just undergoing, you know, help because of a horrible breakup and your life is spinning out of control, but in reality, oh no, you just have a chronic autoimmune disease that you're getting taken care of.
Plus, if what you're saying is true about Justin Bieber's penis, she must have been really depressed to be broken up with him.
You're missing the point, B.
Okay.
You're missing the point.
She actually she revealed she has lupus.
The tabloids are tough on celebrities.
Yeah.
Especially somebody like Selena. They really like to be bad to her.
Yeah. You don't appreciate it, do you, Bean?
I don't at all, by the way. She seems like a nice lady.
Bean, did you click on the Justin Bieber dong pictures?
I did not. I didn't seek them out. The ones that were showing up in my
timeline.
No, I'm saying there were some that you couldn't avoid because they'd show up in your timeline, but thank God they were all edited. You know, they all had something, they were blurred out or whatever. So I didn't have to feel bad.
Yeah. A big black box over it.
Right.
A lot
huge,
of pixelation.
Huge black box. A lot of square inches of black box covered that, so I didn't see anything.
I think that we're all saying that you should feel bad.
Yeah, mostly. Mm-hmm. And thank you, Nicole Alvarez, for tweeting about it, because you are the one that alerted me to that gifted young man.
Has the largest penis I have ever seen.
I wouldn't go that far, but I suspected he was kind of a jerk because he didn't have much.
Yeah, well, that's the case
true.
A lot of times.
He's a jerk because he has a lot. That's all I'm saying. All these stars were born on today, the 9th of October. Nick Swardson is 39 years old. Director Guillermo del Toro, 51. Actor Scott Bakula, 61. Tony Shalhoub, 62. Sharon Osbourne, 63. I'm Allie McKay, and for Ralph Garman, the walk in the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Allie. Hey, who wants to go see The Cure? Tickets going on sale 1 hour from right now at 10 o'clock this morning for May 22nd at the Hollywood Bowl. A second date has already been added for May 23rd, but we've got them for free here on The Kevin and Bean Show right now at 1-800-520-1067. Any hints, Kevin, for Cure fans, what they might want to know ahead of time before they call?
I think if you're familiar with their music, you'll do fine.
All right. So if you like The Cure, give us a call right now. 1-800-520-1067. Your chance to win on The Kevin and Bean Show coming up next on K-Rock. If there were a K-Rock Mount Rushmore, I think the band The Cure might be up there. That's a group we've been playing on this station for 35 years. And it's such a thrill that they're coming back to town at the Hollywood Bowl next summer. Two dates in May. Tickets are going on sale this morning at 10 o'clock. But you can win them right now. And I'm very excited about giving away tickets to The Cure. I'm really excited about the way we're doing it.
Hit it, Steve. Dave.
I'm Mike.
And with our powers combined... We are El Orchestra de la Raza. Si se puede.
All right.
So they'll sing a song. All right, thank you, Dave. Thank you, Mike. Let's get to that. Let's go to the phone. Explain how the game is played. Okay.
All right, now we're out of time. Now we don't have time to give away the tickets. Hey, Dave. Hey, Mike. You guys ready to play the game?
You know it.
All right. Please explain for our callers on hold how they can win tickets to see The Cure at the Hollywood Bowl.
We will be providing for you Cure songs, but we will be doing all the instruments with our mouths.
Okay, so all you have to do is identify what Cure song they're trying to do. If you're right, you go into the drawing. Two listeners will win tickets to see The Cure at the Hollywood Bowl. Who's up first?
Teresa is up first in Tustin. Hi, Teresa.
Hey, how are you?
We are good.
Well, we apologize in advance for what you're about to hear, but listen up. Here are the boys doing a Cure song. You just tell us which song it is.
Okay.
I think that's probably. All right, we're either going to get it or we're not at this point. All right. Thank you, boy. Thank you, gentlemen.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks. Thank you, guys. All right, Teresa, what song is that, please?
It's still like Friday I'm in Love, but
Sorry, it's not.
Sorry, it was Love Song. Yeah, it didn't sound anything like it,
I knew
that was the answer, and it didn't sound anything like it.
All right. Who's up next, please?
Teresa. You guys ripped her off. Ivan in Paramount.
Hey, guys.
Ivan, you're great.
Good luck, Ivan. Here's David Mike, El Orquestra de la Raza.
Bring, 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 bring. Bam, bam, bam,
bam.
He said it. Stop. We got it. All right, you are in the drawing, Ivan. Please hold on there. One step closer to winning tickets. All right, guys, you don't have to keep going once he says it, okay? You can be done. Who's next, please?
Next is Mark in West Covina. Hi, Mark.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Well, not well. Got to be honest.
Allie, this is your first Orquestra de la Raza, right?
It's so good.
It's pretty
it's
painful,
a mess.
Right?
It's a mess. We apologize. All right, guys, hit it.
All right.
Bum 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 bum
Very clever. All right, David Mike at Orchestra de la Rosa, let's hear a Cure song, please.
Boom, 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 boom.
I feel like they're not really even getting to it.
Jeez, I don't know.
Yeah, that
just
was
like
tough.
Heaven. Just like heaven. Yeah. I don't know.
Sorry, that was the one before, but thank you for playing anyway.
That was the last answer, but...
What was it? Can anyone tell me?
Nope.
Oh, that's wow. That's what they were doing.
Let's go
to bed.
That was Let's Go to Bed.
Yes, it was.
And no way was that Let's Go to Bed.
Pretty much sounded like the track when David was doing it.
We have time for only one more, I'm sorry to say. Just one more.
Stephanie in Montebello.
Hello.
Hi there. Well, we're good. How are you?
Good. I'm pretty well, thanks.
Are you ready for the L Orchestra?
Oh, boy, I think so.
Good luck.
All right. That might kick in at some point, but maybe not. All right. I'm sorry. No.
think it was supposed to be Friday I'm in Love is what we were doing.
That's what they were doing.
All right, yeah. I'm sorry, Stephanie. We appreciate you listening, though, anyway. Ivan is in the drawing. Marcus is in the drawing, but only two of them can win, Allie. Is it going to be Ivan, or is it going to be Mark, or is it going to be both of them?
Let's be crazy and go both.
Both.
Yay!
Bam, bam, bam!
Congratulations, guys. You'll have fun. Don't forget, for everyone else, tickets go on sale Friday. That's today at noon for The Cure at the Hollywood Bowl. Thanks, El Orquestra de la Raza.
El Orquestra de la Raza. Si se puede!
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's Kevin and Bean Show at 941.
Time for one final look at the showbiz beat here on a Friday morning. Allie McKay in for Ralph Garman. What's going on?
Can I give something away?
Sure.
Yeah, hell yeah.
This is something that you want to go to. Okay. So call right now for a pair of tickets to Saturday's Festival Supreme.
Yay! Ah,
the kids love it. It's at the Shrine Expo Hall tomorrow. One winner is going to get a pair of tickets. You're going to have a blast. Call right now, 1-800-520-1067.
Call now, 1-800-520-1067. I love you.
Thank you, Doto. I appreciate it. I don't know if you're ready for this, but all morning long I've been telling you the story of Justin Bieber.
Yes.
Packing a bit more than we ever thought.
Mm-hmm.
I screen capped this tweet just in case it gets deleted, because I wanted to be able to share it with you. From Justin Bieber's father. Jeremy Bieber.
He should not be weighing in on this story.
You would think. He'd say it's a violation of my son's privacy. Don't look at his dong. Something like that.
I would think so.
Nope.
Unless you're Donald Trump, where he's talking about how he would do her.
It's
no, what?
It's along the lines of that creepy.
What?
At Justin Bieber, what do you feed that thing? Hashtag proud daddy. If you didn't hear me, I just said, what do you feed that thing? Hashtag proud daddy. And then an emoticon of the little happy face with blush. Like, oh, so proud.
This
Are
is Justin Bieber's
kidding?
Dad talking about his son's genitals.
Yeah. Yeah. That just happened.
Just picture it as like a dude's dong.
No, we know what it is.
No.
But you shouldn't. That's not where you should be.
Yeah.
Oh,
that's a great decision-making process right there.
Oh, my hell.
Now we know why Justin turned out the way he did.
Exactly. I thought, this is going to be deleted.
Was it deleted?
Not yet. Okay. But I screen-capped it and posted it on my Twitter anyway.
Is that what this is? It's not a party. It's a filthy penis meeting?
That's exactly what it is. And it's going to go late.
That's his dad.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
By the way, it might be an interesting phone topic. Your parents got into your social media. I bet there's a lot of stories where people, you know, have posted stuff on their Facebook page and then their mom comments on it. They're like, Mom, do you have to?
Right?
Come on.
Oh, man. Like, you look great, son. You should wear your shirt like that open forever. Like something gross like that?
Right.
No.
Yes.
No.
Oh. You know it happens all the time.
God. All right, moving along. This is an odd story, and I just want to tell you about it because what's happening, Keith Richards? We all know him, the 107-year-old guitarist for Rolling Stone. He is in Rolling Stone magazine talking about quite possibly two of the other greatest bands in the world.
Okay.
However, he says, I love Led Zeppelin guitarist Jimmy Page, but as a band, no. With John Bonham, who's the drummer, thundering down the highway in an uncontrolled 18-wheeler, he had cornered the market there. Jimmy's a brilliant player, but I always felt there was something a little hollow about it, you know? He's talking about Led Zeppelin! What? All right, but then he decided to go all in on The Who.
Okay.
This about Roger Daltrey. All flash. Okay. But for late drummer Keith Moon... He said this. Moon could play to Pete like nobody else in the world. But if someone threw him into a session with someone else, it was a disaster. There's nothing wrong with that. Sometimes you've got that one paintbrush and you rock it.
Wow.
Oh, my God. Keith.
I feel like The Who and Led Zeppelin kind of both stand on their own.
Yeah, and maybe legitimate. Off limits.
That's not necessary.
Right? Slow down, Grampy.
You all made it, guys.
It's entertaining, though.
It's okay.
It is entertaining.
Whatever.
Yes.
Old Man Rock Beef. I love it.
Right? I think he just hates drummers. That's what I'm going with. Okay, he hates drummers, which I kind of understand. Beer mug. I love beer mug. Hey, moving on. Tom Cruise is packing up. He is leaving Hollywood. Sources tell Us Weekly that he is moving to beautiful Clearwater, Florida. And you might say, well, that makes sense. No tax down there. No, no. Also might have to do with that is where the Church of Scientology is headquartered. What do you think about that?
Yeah, it's not surprising.
Well, look, if that's where they're headquartered, that's probably where the landing strip is, that the spaceship will come to gather up its followers and take them back to their home planet. And he probably wants to be nearby when that happens.
There's a lot of talk of him taking over that church, right?
Yes.
But then there was talk about him leaving the church because he wants more of a relationship with his daughter, Siri. So I don't know who to believe.
Yeah, here's what I know about Scientology.
I know that it's about you go into a desert and there's a ship somewhere and then you sign a huge check. And if you don't, they'll kill you.
Wow.
That's all I know.
It's about right.
Okay. Bean, you've got a visitor up in your gorgeous neck of the woods.
Who's
President
that?
Barack Obama.
Oh, yeah, he's coming today.
He's wreaking some havoc on the roads, as he does when he visits.
There's no
cities.
City that welcomes a visit from the president.
No.
No.
No. Everything goes haywire.
Up, yeah.
Well, Pacific Palisades, you are next. On Saturday, he will be hosting a fundraising event at a home. You don't know where the home is until you purchase a ticket, which you can get for $1,000. But what will that $1,000 get you? Some crooning from Jamie Foxx.
Now, is he still, yeah.
Yeah.
Is that good?
Good. Well,
he's a good singer.
Sure. But maybe you want prime seating and a photo with President Barack Obama. Would you be willing to pay $9,000 more for an even $10,000?
It'd be pretty cool to have your picture taken with the president.
Yeah, but you have to sit through Jamie Foxx.
Yeah.
And you got to pay $10,000.
Yeah. And the $10,000.
First, there's Jamie Foxx with...
It's one of his hits.
Did not know that was him. Oh, I take it back.
It's a big hit.
I need to borrow $10,000. Mm-hmm. That is a tune. Do you guys have Netflix?
Of course.
Sure.
Do you remember how much you paid for it?
Well, it's a monthly charge.
It's monthly.
I thought it was like $8, something like that, maybe?
I was thinking nine.
Nine?
I think if you got it after a certain date, it was nine. But now it's nine for everyone.
Okay.
It's going up from $8.99 to $9.99 per month for U.S. subscribers. It's the company's second price hike in less than 2 years.
Wow.
Yeah, so we're lucky if we got in early, because they'll never miss.
I'll tell you, it's worth it.
They put on great shows, man.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. What do you say we wrap this up? Who's with me?
I'm in.
It's the best idea you've ever had.
Oh, thank you. All these stars born on today, the 9th of Rocktober. Director Scott Bakula, 61. Director Guillermo del Toro, he is 51. Nick Swartzen, funny guy, 39. Actor Chris O'Dowd, 36. And actor Brandon Routh is 36 years old as well. I'm Allie McKay. And for Ralph Garman, welcome to Showbiz Beat.
And we are going to be at Morongo Casino tonight playing blackjack. So stop by.
God.
Allie has no idea what she's doing, and it's good times. Win a lot of money, and it's free. How about that? Have a great weekend, everybody.
That joint, my friend, pass it over to me.
Shout out to my real Africans out here.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend, pass it over to me.
I'm going to pepper spray you in the face.
Roll another one,
Janky,
just like the other one.
No, not Montreal, this is Monty Hall.
This one seems
pot is a gateway drug. If you start smoking marijuana, next you will be doing energy drink enemas and having sex with various marsupials, including kangaroos, but not limited to wombats.
Roll.
I'm gonna bite my pillow. That's what I'm gonna do.
What the hell is going on here?
I don't have another cent.
Are we prepared to let
let the Kevins of the world decide anything for us? Anything at all?
Fat people should just not.
Just pass it around.
Carol, hold my cause.
But don't hold on to join my friend.
I just
pass it on down.
I think we're going to be okay. Full speed ahead and damn the torpedoes.
Our time in paradise is coming to an end. It's the final rose ceremony.
Sit down.
This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
Sorry, we're out of time.
Wow.
Oh, sorry.